Omar's going on vacation.
I am.
DJ Omar Khan.
And I got to tell you, it is the I may never get to Europe, so I'm going to kill myself on this trip.
Got to try to see it all.
Oh, how long have you been planning on taking the little woman overseas? It's been a while, right?
Her idea. She's a teacher. Mm-hmm. So this is actually one of these educational tours where she signs up like 5 students and she gets her paid.
Oh.
Hers paid.
Oh,
right.
Nice.
So,
and you have access to the students?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, dude? Yeah, she's 18, so
now,
she's legal.
Seeing Europe in 10 days is like trying to see the United States in 10 days. It's very, very difficult.
Well, so yeah, what I'm going to be over there 15 days.
15 days.
15 days, yeah. Okay. What some people will do is they'll pick, in that case, maybe 3 or 4 countries and spend a few days in each and really feel like they get a chance to see something. Not Omar.
Nope.
Omar has come up with a plan that puts him in each country in Europe for 45 minutes.
Yeah, this is a vacation plan called European Carousel.
Yeah, what a gay name, right?
The Netherlands, yeah. Germany, Austria, Italy, Switzerland, France, England. Sounds like a great trip if it was 2 months.
Yeah.
But this seems like you might moving a little fast.
I figure it's the first time, we're going to go see Europe. And, with this educational tour, we get first in line at all the museums. All the museums are paid for. We get 2 meals a day included in the package. And, we want to go experience each city for, and I got ADD. I get really bored fast, so I figured this is perfect for me. And, we're going to, in a couple of years when we go back, we kind of like, hopefully, we'll get a feel of, what this each city is like. And we'll go back to, the place that we enjoy the most.
Sounds like a good plan.
I understand the theory. I think you're going to need a vacation when you get back from this vacation. But we wanted to find out more about this tour because we had not heard of any trip like this, Omar. You don't even know about this, but we lined up your travel agent. We've got, you remember Mr. Gerard, your friend Alan is on the phone with us right now from Caffeinated Tour. Good morning, Alan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, what's going on? Hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Is this a bad time?
No. Great. Fine. Let's go.
Are you leading a tour right now?
Yeah, we're getting some tours out of here. It's amazing. What people are saying today is incredible. What do you got? What's the question? Ask me something. Come on. Let's go.
We have the Europe.
Come on. Let's go.
We have the European Carousel that our friend.
My favorite tour. The best tour. Everyone loves that tour. It's the number one tour we sell.
Could you give us some details on that?
Absolutely. First, we start in the Netherlands. We go there in the Netherlands. You take an overnight flight. You end up in Amsterdam. Then from Amsterdam, you go on to Florence, Italy. We go to Florence, Italy. We take a look at the Medici Village for the half the afternoon. Then the other afternoon, we take a moped to St. Petersburg, Russia. We get to Russia. We go through the Nevsky Project. From there, we take a ferry to Santorini, Greece. There, we're in Greece. We go around the island on a moped, get a donkey, and go to Edinburgh, Scotland.
When
we get to Scotland. We go there. We go to the Irish Whiskey Center. We go through Calton Hill. And then we go and take a plane to Peru. We go to Peru because we have to refuel.
We got to go to Peru.
Yeah, we got to go to Peru.
Awesome.
Get some more blow. Then we get back on the plane, and we go to Rome, Italy. Got to see Rome. Got to see Rome. Got to see Venice. Got to see Tuscany. Got to see Florence. Got to see all of Italy in 45 minutes. Then we go back to London. We go to the United Kingdom. We spend 18 minutes in London. We get on the plane. We go to Prague. Prague is in the Czech Republic. It's freaking awesome.
Right.
You go through the Old Town Square. You go to Tin Church. You see the Bohemian Brew. You see the Vlada River, the Charles Bridge. You see Prague Castle. Now that's in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Then you get back in a plane. You go to Barcelona, Spain. You got to see Barcelona, Spain. It's one of the best cities in the world. We're going to fly right past them because they look at Barcelona, Spain. We're on our way to Venice. Then we go to Venice, Italy. It's incredible. Venice, Italy. You can't believe it. You see the canals. You see the people walking down the canals. You see people on boats in the canals. The canals are freaking awesome. Then we take one of the boats from the canals, and we sail to Paris, France. That's right. We're going to goddamn Paris. We're going to see everything. We're going to see the Eiffel Tower. We're going to see the Arc de Triomphe. We're going to see it. And then we're going to go buy a bus. I'm going to say, look at it. And then we're going to Dresden, Germany. We're going to go to Dresden. Dresden's incredible because that's where World War II was fought. And then we won it. God bless America.
What? Okay, thanks, sir. I think that answered all my questions.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
Did he say we're going to stop in Peru to get blow?
Yeah, Peru, we got to get blow.
That's all I care about.
Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
Did you see that Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson are back together again?
Yes.
Well, I saw that was the case a few days ago. Are they still back together?
They were married, of course, in 1995. They split up in 1998. Then she went on to marry Kid Rock, and she married that dude Rick Solomon, and got divorced from both of them. And now it seems like they have she's moved back into his house with their two kids.
Are
and
they actually living together?
They're a happy family again.
No kidding.
Even with all those other marriages that Pam has gone off to do, and even with every woman in the world that Tommy has banged since they divorced, you still, it seems like every 2 or 3 months, there's a picture of them, you know, usually at their kids' soccer game or something like that, and they're making out. I mean, they always seem like they've stayed very, very friendly. But now I guess they're trying the relationship again.
We have we actually have Tommy Lee on the phone.
Okay.
Oh, so we can find out some more information about
it. Barbecue sauce. Yeah. Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Tommy?
Ripping and shredding. Yeah.
Tommy, first of all, I guess congratulations. We should find out if you and Pam are still together since this story came out in Rolling Stone a few days ago.
Totally. You know, I just wanted to get back with my Pam because she's the one in my heart. I got her tattooed on my heart. And mostly, like, we did it for the kids, you know, because I love them, and she's rad and ripped.
Now the two boys are living with you again, right?
Yeah. Those little tykes, they rip and they shred. All right, bananas.
But I forget their names. What are their names?
Aerosmith and Heineken.
I don't think that's right. I think it's Brandon and Dylan. Didn't you name them after 90210 characters?
Sure.
You don't remember, do you?
Bender and Ludwig.
No, I don't.
Tommy, is there anyone that doesn't rip and shred?
No, there's people that don't rip. There's people that don't shred. But remember, it's like life is like a snare drum. Whack it.
Slash,
give me that marinade. All right, yeah.
Slash is there?
Yeah, we're having a little backyard barbecue. I'm cooking up some filet mignon. Venison on the grill. Yeah,
Tommy,
partied all night. So
I thought this. Right, but Tommy, the story in Rolling Stone says that one of the things that you did to show how serious you were this time is that you've given up eating meat, because your wife, of course, is a famous vegetarian. Now I understand you don't eat the meat.
What?
According to the story, you gave up meat for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're totally no meat, ribs.
Right, right. But you're cooking filet mignon and ribs right now, though.
Yeah. Last night I went to the bathroom.
Right? What does that mean?
It ribs. I'm telling you, man, because when, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane. Go for it.
But I think what I'm saying is that you don't eat meat anymore, so I don't know what you got going on the grill, but Pam is going to be very upset and maybe move out again.
But then I'll just drive a boat with my wiener.
I guess you always have that.
And some cocktails. All right, rip!
Love being in Los Angeles because of Channel 4 News. Channel 4 is spectacular.
Of course they are.
And here's why. Here's the recipe. You have to start with a cute little kid talking about the rain. Because none of us would know what to do if we didn't see a cute little kid talking about the rain.
The weather is all rainy, so the snow is so exciting.
I think it'd be more exciting if you could drive through it and go home, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
That's not on the news.
Yes, it was.
That's so not taking time away from news.
That was the Channel 11, Channel 4 News at 11, of course. Oh. Of course. Are you kidding? And whoever the guy was, the reporter was out there, he had to contradict the kid. You know, he's like, you know what? I'd rather just leave it behind. Okay,
hey,
that's fine.
You're a stupid fetus. Go back home.
Here's Paul Moyer making some sense out of what's going on.
Mass that hit Long Beach especially hard. What's up with that?
What is up with that? That's a good question.
Does anyone have an answer? What's up with that?
That's on the news, by the way. So then they also have to have equal parts sending somebody to where it used to flood but isn't now. That's right. Part of the recipe.
Hi, Colleen. I'm here at the intersection of Tuxford Street and San Fernando Road. This area has historically been a real problem when you have a heavy rain. There is always flooding here, but apparently not anymore. A lot of work has been done here.
Okay. If it's me, I'm calling back and going, not flooding. Where do I go now?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, of course.
Not a news story.
Do they get together at the end of the newscast and high five?
Yes.
Yeah, we nailed it. We really covered it.
Not yet. First, they have to squeeze in an interview where the person is completely ignoring the rain and not answering anything that has to do with it. These people are going to get, ice cream or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yogurt. And they don't even mention the rain. They just say it's exciting. So she has to figure out an angle to work it into the rain coverage.
And in Southern California, when it rains, we have come to expect the unexpected. And on this day, the unexpected is the demand on frozen yogurt.
It's a special treat for us today. It is a favorite place for us to come.
Yes.
What does
that is useful information.
It's so crazy. It's cold and it's raining and you're getting frozen yogurt.
You're out of your mind.
Wow.
That's nutty.
What's up with that?
We're so lucky that the rest of the country's problems have been solved, that they have a couple of minutes per newscast to cover this.
We have Channel 4's Doug Kriegel, who we're a fan of because he sounds like he's about to die. Out on the scene. Doug, good morning.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you, sir?
I'm standing here on Ventura Boulevard at an intersection. On one side is an elementary school.
Right.
The other side, a frozen yogurt store.
Right.
I'm desperately hoping to find a small child who wants frozen yogurt in the rain.
Well, that would be the best.
As of yet, I have not seen any children, but I am lingering around the schoolyard. That has caused Chris Hansen to look at me oddly.
That is not accepted very well, I don't think.
No, they tend to think that I'm creepy.
Yeah.
I have no idea why.
I know that you've been in news for decades here in Southern California, but at some point, don't you get enough seniority where you don't have to be the guy they send out to stand in the rain every single time it's wet?
These are the important stories.
No.
How will Southern California know that it's raining unless I come out here?
You need to breathe a little more, Doug.
If I do, I keep inhaling water.
Oh.
So I'm trying my best not to.
What are you talking? Oh, you mean you're actually in the rain?
I am outside on Ventura Boulevard, as I mentioned earlier in the bit.
Right, no, I know, but I figured
it's raining out here.
Umbrella or something.
No, it's just me and the microphone.
Wow.
And a video crew.
Wow.
We are waist deep in water. There is a considerable flow coming off of Ventura, and I'm this is
Doug? Quite a bit of water.
Doug? All right, we're having a little... Apparently the sewers are backing up.
Oh,
that doesn't smell good at all.
Are you okay, Doug?
And I just now... No, I'm fine. I'm sure I will be okay.
Doug?
Well,
it sounds like you're underwater. Yeah. Are you okay?
No, I like the rain. After all, we do need it.
It's true. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, taking care of the really important stuff. Sometimes a riff comes up, an argument comes up, and we all, fall down on different sides of the argument. And
what's fantastic, though, is that now we have a way to resolve these disputes because we've got the great decider, our friend Kevin Smith, the director who is available to decide all these problems for us. Because in the past, we've had these thorny discussions where half the room's on this side, half the room's on the other side, and there's no way to finally end it all, and we just all walk around sulking because we can't win. And now we finally have a way to win.
Are we pussies, though, for abdicating our responsibility and making these decisions?
No. You know what it is? This is like when hockey ties at the end of a game. It's too frustrating. Somebody needs to win, so they put the shootout in.
Yeah. You'd rather lose than tie, is what you're saying.
So we have to go to a guy who we all respect, and we can live with his ruling, whatever it is. Now, yesterday we took this phone call in Kevin and Bean's What to Do, Nephew.
I was wondering who's hotter, since they're both going to be on Heroes, Hayden Panettiere or Kristen Bell?
Okay, so Hayden Panettiere on Heroes, the cheerleader.
Okay.
Kristen Bell joining Heroes on Monday night. Who's hot?
Oh, yeah. Like, that show could get any better, by the way.
Or any hotter. That show has just had a string of smoking hot women on, from Missy Peregrine to the new chick in Louisiana. Allie Larder and the
George
new chick
Takei.
Who's got new powers.
Yeah.
George Takei.
Now, we love Kristen Bell. Love.
Absolutely.
She's incredibly cute, incredibly attractive, great personality.
Great sense of humor, sure.
But I think if you're just going on straight hot,
I mean, there's no denying these are both very beautiful women.
It's a tough call.
Exactly. True.
I think I'm leaning Hayden Panettiere.
Well, you have said in the past you love Kristen Bell, but not sexy enough for
She's
you.
Beautiful.
Yes.
But she has sort of a girl next story kind of wholesomeness to her. Innocence.
Which is great.
She's attractive,
on that list.
But it doesn't get my Briggs and Stratton going.
Ralph, you're on Hayden.
Oh, yeah. Hayden Panettiere has that smoldering sexuality. She's got that impish, naughty side to her. She's got a certain power to her that I think just makes her diabolical.
But then there's the Kristen Bell has to have that side, too, but she's hiding it pretty well. So does that
mean it's too well? That's what I'm saying.
Seen her lately? Does that mean it's like maybe it's even
Dave,
more extreme?
It's not about looks. We know she's pretty.
No, I'm saying, but she's starting to dress it up, dress the part now. She's getting a little sexier. She's dressing a little sexier, and she looks so good.
So you're coming down on the Kristen Bell side, of course.
Yes.
Bean, which side?
Absolutely, I'm with Dave. And I think maybe part of the reason I'm also with Dave is that you got to remember, Dave and I were hardcore Veronica Mars fans. We saw every single episode of that show. And there were a lot of episodes where she was rolling around in her bra and panties and stuff, and she's got a banging bod, and she's, she looks like she really is digging it.
Easy, Prince.
I think, no, I'm saying, I think we've seen, maybe Dave and I have seen more of that sexy side of Kristen than you guys have, just because we were big Veronica Mars fans.
Word.
So I think between the two, I think Kristen is, they're both gorgeous and you know, you do well with either, but Claire, if I had to choose one, I'd pick Kristen.
But Claire Bennett has that burgeoning sexuality. She's a cheerleader who's coming into her own, and now that she's got this flirtation going on with West on the show, her first kiss, I mean, you could just see she's chopping at the bit for sexual experience.
Plus, with the regeneration, her hymen grows back, so you got that.
Stop
you have to give her a point for that, though, don't you? I just think that's awesome.
We think that's creepy. Stop saying that.
You're icky.
All right. So Kevin is Hayden. Yep, Dave is Kristen. Ralph is Hayden. Yep. Lisa, you came down on where?
Hayden.
You were Hayden. Yeah, I'm definitely. Kristen. Psycho Mike, what's you? What do you say?
Kristen Bell, she's a famous vegan. She's going to savor any meat she can get.
There you go.
All right, well, we're stuck. We're endlessly deadlocked, so we've got to bring in the decider.
Mine's the final decision. I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider. Decider. And I decide what is best.
When life's mysteries seem unsolvable, when the hard questions demand a final answer, America turns to the one man we can all trust. He's Kevin Smith, and he's the decider.
Kevin Smith, good morning.
Hayden Panettiere is like 12 years old, gentlemen.
No, sir.
Wrong, sir.
I know. She's like 18.
But yeah, she's 18. Yes.
She just turned 18 through that first year of Heroes. She wasn't even legit.
Right.
Your point is? You guys should go to jail.
Oh, how dare you?
No, but we're not. But wait a minute. We're not having this conversation when she's 17, my friend.
That's true. All right. Let's scrape away looks, because they're both very attractive.
They're both very attractive. Exactly. Okay, good.
And let's scrape away the programs around, because we all dig Heroes and we all dig Veronica Mars.
Correct. Okay.
Let's break it down to the personality based on the network their shows were on.
Okay.
If you're on a hit NBC show, okay, You're not giving a guy like me, or you fools, the time of day.
Right.
You're dating up. If you're on a CW show, you have to work a lot harder.
Oh, I see.
Because your audience is very small to begin with, and not nearly as large as the Heroes audience, so you're going to try harder. It's like dating a fat guy.
Fat guy
is going to try harder.
So you're ruling, then.
My ruling is Kristen Bell, because she'll try harder.
Yeah! Yeah.
We have to accept that.
He's
then.
The decider.
She's an adult, for heaven's sake.
Listen, get over it. She's 18 years old, Hayden Panettiere.
There's no frame of reference, dude. You could say nanu nanu to her, and she'd be like, "What?"
hey, Smith. If you're saying nanu nanu in bed to get a chick hot, you got bigger problems than we thought.
All right, wait a minute.
Based on my looks, dude, I will try anything that works.
Excuse me. I'd like to point out that Ralph is arguing with the decider. It's like shouting at God. What are you doing here? We agreed to accept the ruling of the decider. Kevin Smith says Kristen Bell is hotter. Kristen Bell is hotter. I'm sorry. Case closed.
Also, there's a movie coming up called Fanboys that she's in.
Right.
In which she's wearing the Princess Leia metal bikini.
Oh.
Well, that, on the geek level alone, that makes her hotter.
All right.
Listen to him.
One check.
One final question. Can Bean pull off the words bangin' body?
I can't believe Bean rocked the term. Who? It was Bean who said hymen, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard that term since I was in health class.
All right, Bean Kristen is fascinated Bell. With the regenerating hymen. He's brought that up several times, Kevin.
Regenerating hymen, by the way, is playing acoustic Christmas.
No, they're a hell of a band. Yeah. Kevin, we appreciate very much that you make yourself available to solve the tough problems of the world here. You are the decider. You have spoken. We thank you for joining us this morning. Have a great weekend.
I'm here when you need me.
Thank you, man.
He's Kevin Smith, and he's the decider.
All I know, Kevin, is tell me if it's true. Didn't Madonna at one point threaten to kick your ass?
She called me an asshole.
That's what we're talking about with bad celebrity run-ins.
So we had a story from Bean's wife a couple of days ago on Ray Parker Jr.'s birthday. It's a big birthday celebration.
Ray Parker Jr. was a pop singer, R&B pop singer, back in the 80s. And he's most popular probably today for Ghostbusters, if you've ever seen that movie. He's the guy that sang the theme song to Ghostbusters, big number one hit. And he was pretty popular for a number of years, although not so much anymore, but at the time, he was a pretty big star, I guess.
Who are you going to call? Come on, everybody knows Ray Parker Jr.
Of course.
So Bean's wife had a run-in with him when she was 15, and this is the story that she told him.
I was 15
years old, I worked at a little ice cream shop at Magic Mountain. And it was my job to scoop out the ice cream and put it in a little dish or a cone and give it to the client.
Right.
So Ray Parker Jr. comes in and he orders a root beer float. And they were like $1.50 for the small, $1.75 for medium, $2 for large. You know, like 25 cents difference.
Right.
Well, he wants the small one, but he wants an extra scoop of ice cream.
In the small one.
And I say, I can't give you an extra scoop of ice cream because that's the next size up. That'll be 25 cents. And he goes, well, I don't want the next size up. I just want another scoop of ice cream. And I'm 15 years old. This is my first job. I have like a work permit. I've been there about a week. So I'm terrified to lose this job.
Yeah.
And he just starts screaming at me, wants to see the manager. And I said, sir, I'm so sorry, but I have to charge you the 25 cents if you want the extra scoop. And he goes, put the mother effing ice cream in the cup, you bitch. And he hurled the root beer float at me.
He threw it at you?
He hurled it at me.
Did you know who he was at the time?
Well, he made sure that we knew who he was by saying, don't you know who I am? I'm
excellent.
Ray Parker Jr. I wrote that Ghostbusters song.
Wow. So there you go. That's good times right there.
I wrote that Ghostbusters song.
Don't you know who you're going to call? That's me.
That's so sad.
So you go home at the end of the day. How was your day, honey? Well, I had a root beer float thrown at me by the guy who said Ghostbusters. So that's the kind of bad celebrity encounter that is exactly what we're looking for. What happened to you?
Chris and Colton, good morning.
Hey, good morning, party people.
So you came across Coolio.
Yes, I was working at Mountain High in Houston, and he came in and wanted to make himself a burrito. So they set him up in the back room on a table, right? And he's pretty nice at first. Came in, grabbed me by my shirt, pulled me over to the table he was at. Okay, so first off, I'm completely terrified.
Chris, if you don't mind just backing up a second, why did he have to make his own burrito?
Because he wanted to.
Okay, all right.
He had to make it on his own.
So he grabs you.
Dude, that's how they do it in Gangster's Paradise.
Anyways, he told me he wanted chicken, lettuce, onion, tomatoes, and something else. Can't remember off the top of my head. So I go and I grab him some chicken, you know, like they have them in the pan. He grabs a piece of the chicken out of the pan and flicks it at me and says, no, I want it fresh.
Oh, yes.
I'm stunned. Stunned because all of our fresh chicken is frozen. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll get you a bag of frozen chicken.
That's too much time in the kitchen with Coolio. I'm sorry.
I'm stunned that Coolio was at Mountain High. That's what I'm stunned.
Exactly. Chris, thank you for the call. We got a bunch of others we need to get to. Let's move along to, let's go to Kimmy in Alhambra. We're talking about bad run-ins with celebrities. Hi, Kimmy. What celebrity did you run into?
Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
We were at the Troubadour watching my uncle's band play, and we were all outside having a cigarette, and one of my cousins runs in and says, oh, hey, you know, one of our other cousins was having a drink with Judd Nelson. Oh. And we were like, wow, Judd Nelson? That's kind of random.
Mm-hmm.
So we all kind of go inside, and a friend of mine, you know, we walk up to him, and he, like, puts his hand out to shake his hand.
Right.
And he shook his hand, and then, you know, I went up to him to shake his hand, and he kind of just looked at me, and I was thinking, gosh, what a jerk. He's not going to shake my hand. All of a sudden, he gives me a hug, and, like, with one hand, he undoes my bra strap.
Come on. That's talent right there.
Yeah, and it was like I was wearing a shirt where my cousin had to, like, come over and, like, you know, fix it real quick. And by the time I turned around, he was already gone.
That's really funny. He had to have done that on purpose, right?
Oh,
had to
yes.
have. That's so
yeah.
funny.
Judd Nelson, by the way, from St. Elmo's Fire and The Breakfast Club and a bunch of 80s movies. I think he was on some TV show in the 90s, too.
Suddenly but you Susan.
Suddenly Susan, that was it. You don't see much of him anymore, that's for sure.
Thank God, how'd you come up with this stuff?
Suddenly Susan. Nomi Nami in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi, Nomi. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Who did you
run
into? By the way, just
I
this.
I ran into
this,
Mel Gibson, actually, when I used to live in New York City. I was just a little kid at the time.
Right.
I was with my mom and my dad, and they're filming Ransom with Gary Sinise, directed
right.
by Ron Howard, and just after, like, the bloody gunshot scene, you know, where he, like, comes out of the window, he watches the whole thing. And anyway, we're standing by his trailer, and he had just filmed for about an hour, so he wasn't, I mean, it was in the middle of the day. He hadn't been, you know, in, like, that long of a day or anything
right.
working. But we stood by his trailer, I kind of off, you know, to the side, and there are these two girls that went right up to him, like right up to the door, waiting for him to come out with paper and their little Sharpies.
Right.
And once he came out of the trailer, you know, they freaked out. I'm like, oh, can I have an autograph? You know, like any fans would. And he just kind of stood there and looked at both of them and said, how many of you are there?
Well, how many were there?
And he just kind of, you know.
How many were there, Nomi? How many were? How many people were there?
There are two.
Two.
It was two girls and people off on the side because they wouldn't, you know, go near him.
How
but
many
anyway,
of you are there? That's
the worst part was he took these papers out of the girl's hand, signed them, and basically threw it. Like one of them, he just tossed to the other one. He pushed it. He like shoved it right in her chest.
Yeah.
Like, just pushed it to her.
Nice.
Slammed
Listen
the door
to Mike. He's so happy. Mel Gibson dominated a teenager. How many of you are there? All of two.
It's funny because Mel Gibson is the exact opposite guy you would expect to encounter. I mean,
generally speaking.
Yeah, and who knows, by the way, you know, that telling of the story, who knows how true it is or what the circumstances were of what was going on in Mel Gibson's life or anything like that, what kind of day he was having. But it's not what you expect when you run into Mel Gibson, that's for sure.
Speaking of telling stories, if you could start 10 seconds before the incident, that would help.
We were at a bar, we were seeing a band, and I went out to have a smoke, and then a guy went back in, then he saw another guy.
Seriously, just get to the celebrity part.
Just get to the part where something bad happened.
We don't need the co-star and director of the movie?
No, we don't need any of that. Thank
Mike
you,
in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, hi, thanks. Mike. What celebrity did you have a run-in with?
Reggie Jackson. Went to get autographs from the team, finished that up. He was coming out of another entrance away from the parking. Other side of the stadium, and walked all the way around with him, you know, had a great conversation with him. We walked to his car because I had a ballpoint pen and he had a Sharpie, which would have looked better on the ball. Opened up the car door, jumped in, and drove off.
Oh, my God.
There you go, Reggie. And by the way, he's still laughing about that.
He made the right call. That's awesome. All right, let's go to John and Aliso Viejo. Hi.
John. Kevin Bean, Lisa May, Pupazow for
Pupazow.
One.
To you as well. Who did you run into?
Johnny Knoxville, man. A trash waste. I mean, the guy must have been hammered off every drug in the world.
No!
The guy is just lit.
All right.
My little sister, who's 17, walks up to him with my mom, me, and her, and says, hey, can I get your autograph or a picture with you? And he looks her up and down and says, you can get whatever you want with me. And my mom's like, excuse me? And he's like, oh, sorry, Mom. So he's like, let me get that picture. Had two beers in his hands, swings his arm around my sister, beers all over my mom.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is so Johnny Knoxville and so what you expect when you run into him.
That's really a daily occurrence with him, I think.
Yeah, no kidding. That's fantastic.
Let's go to Whitney. Good morning, Whitney.
Good morning, Popo's out. Kevin and B. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
So you're a Magic Mountain. Who did you run into?
Robbie Williams.
Now this
is a huge line, and him and his entourage come up right in front of us as we're about to get on, and we start saying, "Hey, you know, get back in the back of line." And he turns around, and just spits right at us.
Robbie Williams spit.
Yeah,
spitting, spitting rules. That's good news right there. Wow, Robbie Williams is a huge singer in England. He's not so big here, but wow, to get spit, that rules.
That's disgusting.
Dave in Valley Village. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and I ran into Burt Bacharach. I had to kick him out of one of my porn stores.
Sorry.
Now, for folks who don't know the name, Burt Bacharach, very popular songwriter mostly, also sings a bit, but songwriter from the 60s, and he was in a porn store buying what?
Yeah, I was a district manager for a couple porn stores here in the Valley, and we had to close the store down for about an hour because we had a problem, and I made an announcement and told everybody that if they wanted to buy something, they had to buy it now. Anyhow, about 10 minutes into it, he comes walking up the counter with a stack of porn mags, and wants to buy them, and I said, you know, I can't sell these to you now. You're going to have to wait about a half hour. And he pulls out his ID and stuff. He goes, man, I'm effing Burt Bacharach, and slams the thing down on the table. And I was like, man, I don't care who you are, but, you know, just get the hell out of the store.
Yeah.
Dude, when he says what the world needs now is love, he means he needs love right now.
My God, he really wanted his porn. Sometimes you got to have your porn.
That's right.
All right, Lisa, we're saving the best for last. You ready for JC in Sherman Oaks?
Not really.
Hi, JC.
Go ahead, JC.
How you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. All right, good deal. I had a run-in with Tori Spelling, and it was a really horrible run-in, to say the least. I was over at Dimples Karaoke Bar in Burbank.
Right.
And
sure.
She came in with her entourage and quickly shuffled my friend and I over into the corner because of their huge entourage.
Right.
realized very quickly it was her birthday, and she was essentially way drunk, like to the point where her eyes were virtually rolling up and her head drunk. And
allegedly.
What's that?
I said, go ahead.
Okay. And to make it worse, she started doing a little sort of hottie dance with her hottie friend out on the dance floor, just her and her friend right in front of me and my friend, which
right.
was sitting on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
She turns around, starts basically doing essentially a private dance for us,
yeah.
hiking up her tiny little skirt, come to realize no underwear, and not only was it her birthday, but it was also her time of the month.
Stop.
I just threw up.
Stop.
Horrible.
No.
Dude.
Horrible. But no.
Oh, no, she did not.
I was wishing I had my spy camera with me. I would have made $1 million in National
Enquirer. I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
I just threw up.
That's not good.
It was horrible.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
I know it's a painful memory, but sometimes you have to look back at 9/11 Part 2 and remember.
Oh. Good morning, Yasmin.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Yas. How are you, sweetheart? Happy New Year to you.
Oh, you too. What are you guys calling me about? I have no idea.
No.
None.
All right. I can, let me pick up the story here because I happen to have my iPhone with me, and I saved the text message I got from Dave on December 23rd. At 12:03 a.m.
Okay.
Here's what it says. Okay. So, are you making out with Yasmin right now? All right, that's me.
Yeah!
I wrote back, you sit on a throne of lies.
Of course
Dave writes
you
do. Back, not today, my friend, not today. And then it goes on and on from there.
Oh,
Yasmin!
My God.
Good time. I on purpose did not check my email over the holidays because I don't like most of the people I work with. But,
right.
But I find out yesterday that we're supposed to make this announcement today that you, Miss Double December 2006, Yasmin,
yeah,
and Dave, the King of Mexico, had, you say it, Dave, I can't say it.
We had sex.
Yeah!
Why did it gotta be an announcement?
Why
has it gotta be an announcement?
Because it's you, Dave.
Yeah, just can't we just
and
let
it's
it
her,
go?
Yes.
That is absolutely not true.
Look, I would have been less surprised by George W. Bush being reelected this year than I am by Dave. And he's not eligible, Kevin. You
right.
understand.
No,
he's not
that.
Allowed to run, right?
I got that joke.
Then Dave and Yaz together over the holidays. And by the way, the first thing I thought is, well, this was a one-time drunk thing. And then I'm talking to Dave yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I just dropped Yaz off from our New Year's Eve date around 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. He just dropped her off. I'm like,
yeah, just the lack of shame and everything.
Now, here's the thing, Yasmin, and, you know, we love you, and we love Dave, but we've known Dave a long time, and he is the black hole of game. Like,
he is.
He's anti-sex. Somehow,
he's Clippers bad.
Somehow,
that's not true.
Oh!
That was going to be my question.
Okay, so you're
quality.
Telling me that it did happen, and it happened more than once.
Yes, twice.
Oh, that is absolutely incorrect.
This can't be
this
possible.
Can't, you guys got together over the holidays, and you said, wouldn't it be funny to tell Kevin and Bean blah, blah, blah?
Right,
no,
exactly.
No, that's not how it happened. Well, first of all, I was out with a girls' night, and me and Dave were, like, randomly text messaging other throughout the day. And I was sitting at dinner, and I was actually with Jenny, and I'm like, let's invite Dave to our girls' night. So he met up with me and my girlfriends at this karaoke bar in L.A.
By the way, that's the kind of guy Dave is.
Yes.
He's always hanging around girls' nights, but he's also the least threatening heterosexual on the planet.
He's kind of one of the girls.
He's one of the chicks.
That's not true.
All right, keep going.
And so he walks in, and I'm like, wow, Dave's like, well, mind you, I'm like a bottle of wine deep, but that has nothing to do with me.
Of course.
Because I slept with him sober, so. He walks in, and
you did not sleep with Dave, the King of Mexico, sober. Did you say sober?
I said sober, yeah, sober.
Sober? Like, I think of sober, like no drinks?
Like, you sleep, and you wake up the next morning, and you're sober.
No!
All right. Put the bullhorn down, Kevin. Sorry. Let her tell the story. Okay. So Dave comes out to karaoke night with the girls. Then what happens?
Yeah, and he's wearing his little finger fingerless gloves, and he's got his little emo hoodie on. And I'm like,
okay, wait a minute.
Yes. No, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. The fingerless gloves.
Yeah, little fingerless gloves.
And the emo hoodie are not two strikes against?
No, they were really cute. He wore them again on New Year's, too, so it was super cute.
That's all he's got, man. You've seen the act.
Right. I already know what he's got working with. But I was like, Benny, he's so cute. I'm going to make out with him. And she's like, what?
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, when you said I'm going to make out with him, you were thinking this will be funny. I'll be able to tell everybody.
No, like, I honestly genuinely wanted to make out with him. Like,
that is absolutely not true.
No, it's true.
So you made out with him. Okay, now, you're making out with him. By the way, he has time during the makeout session to text Bean, because Dave is always texting.
Yeah, that's how good I am.
How was he? It grosses me out to even ask the question, dude. But was he pretty good at making out?
Oh,
yeah, he was really good at making out.
I'm honestly the best.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were starting to...
Oh, I mean...
So you're starting to get a little hot and heavy at this point when you're starting to think, wow, Dave's he does have game.
I wasn't like, oh, like he walked in, I'm going to have sex with him tonight. It was just like, it kind of gradually happened throughout just the night of making out and talking and random flirting and just having a good time. And then, you know, it's closing time and my friends were like, well, let's go. And I'm like, oh, well, I think I'm just going to go home.
No way. Now,
are we still talking about the King of Mexico, Dave Sanchez, the little Mexican kid that answers the phone?
Yes, we're talking about Dave.
Okay, but you're like in Pasadena and Dave is in South Bay. So you have a whole hour to rethink it. So you're starting to sober as you're driving down. Something, some sort
what
of...
What am I doing? Things feel wrong.
Yeah. No, I remember sitting in the car and I was looking at him. He's driving. He's sober with his fingerless gloves, you know. And I'm sitting shotgun and I'm like, Dave. And he's like, what? I'm like, you're going to be naked tonight. And he goes, okay. And he's just
okay, wait a minute.
That's what he says, okay.
Wait a minute.
Like, I've had that dream so many times to hear Yasmin say those words, and it's never been this icky.
So you said to him, you're going to see me naked tonight, and he said, okay.
That's the game, buddy. That's the game.
Now, which of you demanded a Taco Bell stop before you got home?
That was me.
That was you.
Dave, I just want to drive through Taco Bell, and he's like, okay.
Okay. Now, would you say you were the aggressor, Yasmin?
Oh, definitely. 130%
of us. Was there any point where you thought, and this is why we bring this up, because every other girl that would try, you would finally get to the point where you go, wow, this just isn't going to work. Because
no, it was all me. I was the cougar. I totally attacked him. I feel bad about it.
Well, that's how it's always going to have to be with Dave.
Oh, yeah.
No, dude. You know, the game worked perfectly, buddy. That's all I'm saying.
His devilish plan worked.
You remember the good old days, Bean, when Hass called, loved K-Rock and called up all the time? Remember that? That was good. So this past weekend, of course, was Coachella.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a DJ here, a new DJ named McCabe. And he took some phone calls Friday and then Friday night and then Saturday and then Saturday night and then Sunday from somebody named David Hasselhoff.
Not David Hasselhoff.
You can make up your own mind.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing, David Hasselhoff?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Listen, my kids are down at your Coachella Festival, and they're telling me it's awesome, and I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there. Who would I talk to, and who do I go through?
Well, if you go to the website, krock.com.
Well, how do I know that, but I'm going to need VIP tickets because I'm not going to be able to hang
out. Well, dude, you are, no one hassles the Hoff, so you'd probably just get them.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, like, where is there, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because I got a couple of girls, and we're just going to drive down tonight.
Yes.
All in all, it's just, another break in the wall.
All right, David, hold on.
So is this how it works if you're David Hasselhoff?
Yes.
Something comes up that you want, and you just get it because you're the Knight Rider guy.
He doesn't know how to buy tickets, by the way.
And then he asked
no clue.
Then he asked McCabe this information.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
I don't know.
Because I'm not your concierge, Mr. Hasselhoff.
Major fan of K-Rock.
And we are a major fan of Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. I'm still Knight Rider to everybody, even though
There's a new Knight Rider. I'm still Coche Fantastico.
Now, here's where he goes into a weird thing where he starts talking about his car got towed.
Mm-hmm.
Even tonight when they just towed my car, they said, Coche Fantastico.
They towed your car?
Yeah, I told the guy, I went to pick up my car. He goes, Michael, I said, don't give me that Michael shit. You towed my car. And I said, I'm at a cat animal hospital. I said, my cat's dead in the back.
What?
I don't know.
He sounds pretty broken up being out there with a bunch of 20-something-year-old girls trying to take him to Coachella.
Apparently his cat was
he's really mourning.
It was in the back of the car at the pet hospital, and then his car got towed, so then he had to go get it and tell the guy that the cat was still in the back. And he did want to work for his tickets, though.
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
I'll just go on stage and go, the Hawk! K-Rock, the Hawk! Come on, that's worth some tickets.
Yes, it is. Yeah. If you could get the Red Hot Chili Peppers to play on a year when they're not playing...
That's sure. worth some tickets.
That's impressive.
And finally, exactly. One final question for McCabe.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert, you know?
He maybe needs a personal assistant to be making these arrangements for him, I think.
Lazy. He's really, such a lazy man.
McCabe has no idea how far it is from that. Okay, let's. I see we have the Hoff on the phone. Good morning, David.
How you guys doing?
We're very good. How are you?
Hoff loves the Rock.
Yes, you do.
Where are you right now? We know that you made it out to Coachella. Where are you now, David?
Yeah, I'm still at Coachella.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
There's nothing going on there, right?
It's over, though.
I can't find my car.
Oh, no. Really?
It's hot.
It is hot.
It's really hot out here.
Yeah.
I keep drinking, but I can't get hydrated.
Well, you drinking just water or Gatorade or what?
Rumplemints.
Rumplemints?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
It's like Goldschlager.
Oh, no.
That's not going to help you, David.
No.
It's a pepperminty liqueur.
Uh-huh. Is anyone else still there? I mean, are there any guards there that you can ask to help you?
I got a couple girls.
Right?
You always do.
Yeah, and I can't find my car.
What are the girls doing right now?
Do you know how far Coachella is to the Palm Desert Marriott?
No, we don't. Why are we supposed to know that?
I'm going to have to walk. I don't have the Coche Fantastico. I need my Coche Fantastico.
Are you going to make the girls walk as well?
My Coche Fantastico. Right. I wish I had a Coche Fantastico.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe a cab is what you need. Maybe call a cab to come get you.
Oh. My car was towed.
Right. That was Friday, though.
I had a dead cat in the back.
That was Friday,
though. You still have the dead cat.
Yeah. Every time I have a car, I put a dead cat in it.
That seems odd.
Not going to smell good.
Nobody steals a car with a dead cat in it.
Right. Okay.
So know that.
No, I can get a dead cat?
No, we don't.
Dead cat fantastico.
Right.
Dead cat fantastico.
There's no security. There's no cops you can wave down.
No, it's just desert.
Desert, yeah.
Right.
And
okay, don't drink anymore, David. Just
sand.
Right, just that's
lay down and go to sleep, maybe.
Wind, with, hot. Right.
It is hot, yeah.
I cannot get hydrated. I'm out of sweat.
Maybe if you found your car, though.
Is it bad if you can't sweat anymore?
Yes.
I think so. I think that's a sign that you're about to die.
That's heat stroke.
Sweat fantastico. Our Hoff loves the Rock.
That's what we hear, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nirvana.
How was Nirvana this weekend?
I can introduce Nirvana. That's got to be worth a couple tickets, right?
Yeah, they're not. They're not exactly playing
Nirvana
anymore.
Nirvana Fantastico.
All right.
Nirvana Fantastico.
You all right, dude?
No. Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You're okay.
Nope.
You have food?
Nope.
No food.
No.
No, that's sad.
I got Rumplemints.
Right, you mentioned that. That doesn't sound like that's the good thing if it's the only thing you have.
Yeah, this is a mess.
Oh,
it is.
I can't find my car.
Yeah, that's not a good place.
Coach Fantastico.
Not a good place to lose your car.
Coach Fantastico. Coach Fantastico.
Right. We heard that.
You all right?
This is a mess.
Yeah.
My cat died.
Right, we heard that.
All in all, it's just a... another brick in the wall.
Right, Roger Waters was last night.
Oh, it's just another brick in the wall.
You all right, dude?
This is a mess.
Right.
Miss Fantastico.
Did you say Mess Fantastico?
Yep.
Should we call the authorities or something?
Nope.
Don't call the authorities.
Nope.
You don't need help?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
You don't need help?
Mm-hmm.
What? Sorry, I can't understand you.
This is a mess.
It is a mess,
yeah. You know how far it is to the Marriott Palm Desert?
No.
We don't. How are we supposed to know that off the top of our heads?
This is a mess.
All right, good luck.
Coachella Fantastico.
Okay, call us when you get back. Okay. All right, we got to go.
This is a mess.
Right.
Who's laughing in the background there, David?
Oh, did you say Omar? Is he still out there too? All right, we gotta go. We don't know. Proud to be stealers of content.
It worked so well for our friend Gustavo with Ask a Mexican. Now we say ask anyone, including this one.
This is from our friend Aisa, who works here at the station. She works in promotion. She's the best. She says, Chuck and I are carpooling home, sitting in traffic right now. We're using our time to wisely brainstorm promotional ideas for the station. We've come to the conclusion that I should have an alternative career as a dominatrix. Chuck says, this is Aisa writing, Chuck says I'd be good because I'm allegedly a bitch.
Allegedly.
I like the idea because I want some douchebag to pay me to effing humiliate and degrade him instead of free like usual. Can we figure out a way to help me get this new career? Can you guys do a segment, Ask a Dominatrix? Love, Aisa. P.S. The safe word is Boston cream pie.
Okay, that's good, important.
It's a lot to say with a gag in your mouth. That's all I'm saying.
Aisa, good morning.
Good morning.
We set this up just for you.
Thank you, guys.
Like you need any instruction. And Mistress Gemini, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fabulous.
Excellent.
Oh, sorry.
Don't hit the mistress.
I'm going to pay for that later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Mistress Gemini, wow, where do we start? How long have you been in the dominatrix business?
8 years.
8 years.
Okay. How'd you get started in it? Was it like Aisa, where it was just a brainstorm? It just came to you and you thought, hey, that'd be fun?
Actually, no. It was I don't know. I met a lady who was a dom, and she opened up her own private studio and asked to train me and some of my friends so that we could work there and, you know, have a little team. And
did you go to her and say, I'm looking for this, or did
no,
you say, I think you'd be
no,
good at it?
No, I started hanging out with some certain people, and we started going to clubs, goth clubs, and different events, and met this lady through a mutual friend, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, okay. I was at college at the time, and you know, I just did it, excuse me, as fun. And then I graduated. I could go work, you know, 100 hours for somebody else. Or
kick guys in the balls and get paid for it.
I can work for myself.
That's part of it, right?
The rest is history. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
It's my favorite sport.
Kickball.
Yeah. I know the guys that come to you get a turn on. If they enjoy
so.
Sexually, it's fun for them. But do you enjoy it as well? Or is it just a job where you're just going through the motions?
Oh, no. I love it. I'm a lifestyle. So I have personal slaves, too.
So by lifestyle, Dom, you mean that's what you do in your own sexual life as well? That's your,
yes.
Your
how place. Many personal slaves do you have?
I have one, but I don't have sex with my slaves. Can
oh,
I
they
say
just,
that word?
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they get all the bad and none of the good when
yes,
they come
to your right.
house.
Yes, that's right.
Aisa, how many slaves do you have?
30.
And she has sex with all of them.
Yeah, right. Now, Ralph,
like
you're the
beer mug used to be one.
Yeah, I know.
Ralph, you're the one who put us in touch with Mistress Gemini.
Yes.
Is she the one that you went to all those years ago when you taped
no.
the piece for Sex You?
No, that was Mistress Akasha was her name.
Ooh, I have the tape okay. if you want to hear some of that.
Oh, you went to see a dominatrix?
Yes,
you did.
In the just for investigative journalism purposes.
Yeah, sure.
And yes. here it is.
You want it?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, mistress.
Say you want it.
I want it.
Oh. You like that?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Does it
yes,
sound
mistress.
So convincing?
Oh,
lying through my teeth.
You like that, don't you?
Yes.
You're a good little boy, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, mistress.
How long ago was this?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Did she give you a warm up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We started rolling the tape a little while into it. Yeah.
Yeah, that would
I
would
say, you can tell I'm saying just anything
yeah.
she wants me to say in
say.
Order to not get it worse.
To not get it worse, and it didn't work.
I was not the kind of guy who ordinarily would like to enjoy that sort of treatment.
No.
But,
no.
Some guys, you know, they get ecstatic about it. They get orgasmic over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know them.
Gemini, were you inclined to be dominant in your relationships prior to taking this on as a profession, or did this world kind of open up to you once you started?
Well, you know, I've always intimidated men, but I never knew why, and now I do, you know. So I guess I've always
been... You like kicking them in the balls. That's why.
I've always had a very strong, you know, personality and very independent.
How about you?
I think I'm pretty shy and demure.
Yeah,
liar.
Yeah, that's
no,
that's you.
It's not. I think more of the question is not necessarily, I guess, dominating him in my everyday basis, but I can be a little bit,
a little,
you
aggressive.
Know.
Yeah, I was a little too fast, you know, too aggressive in the bedroom for my own good. I think so. Scared him off.
You have any questions for her before we questions from the listeners?
My question is, to some extent, is it more of a, like, are you personally gaining, you know, sexual pleasure from it, or is it, you know, or is it just like a job in every scenario?
You know, I don't get any sexual pleasure. First of all, let's read. You know, I already said I don't do that with, especially with clients.
And most dominatrix do not. Right?
No,
there's
they don't.
No sexual contact.
Are you
involved.
Kidding me?
Yeah, no nudity.
You're gonna kick me in the balls and not have sex with me?
That's right. And you let me for it.
Kidding me?
That's the standard operational procedure.
But why would a guy do that then?
Because it's not about sex. It's mental. It's cerebral. And
but that's like going to the hooker for the conversation.
No. They need more right. than that. It's you know. A lot of
But I thought that was included.
No.
Wow.
Sorry.
It's an emotional, mental experience.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if this is just an impression I've gotten wrongly through what I've seen of the dominatrix trait on TV and movies. But many of the people who come to you, it's because they're so powerful and have so much responsibility in their real lives that they like not having to think and make up their own decisions on their own. Is that
some
part
of them
it?
Do? Yes, a lot of lawyers and doctors. Yeah.
Lawyers and doctors.
Who feel freed by giving up that control and submitting to someone else's will.
Yeah, or, you know, not just a high-powered businessman, you know, in their family life, they have to be in control too, and so they need a little release, and so, you know, so they'll come in for that.
It's completely legal what you do, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no
okay,
sex.
And Aisha, you know, if she's serious about being interested in getting into it, is it the type of thing you can, a woman could make a living pretty well being a dominatrix?
Yes, you can, but, you know, supply and demand, it's very oversaturated right now, especially here in Los Angeles.
Oh, it is. There's too many dominatrixes.
There's way
enough.
Too many dominatrixes for the clients. And then you have to sort of establish a reputation, and it takes a couple years, you know, to get that.
Do you drive-bys and stuff like the rappers when they fight over turf?
You throw a riding crop at each other?
Dominatrix. Dominatrix.
Oh, ask a dominatrix.
Dominatrix. Dominatrix.
Oh, ask a dominatrix.
Hey, you try to rhyme dominatrix.
Falco lives.
It is the latest in a long line of Askas on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. Ask a dominatrix at Mistress Gemini in the studio. Good morning, Gemini.
Good morning.
Also, our friend Aisha, who works here hard at the promotions department at KRock.com. Here's reading from Mistress Gemini's website, and then we'll get to your calls. I am the goddess you dream about, the woman you long to dedicate your whole existence to. The moment you walk through my door and gaze upon my superior beauty, you will be humbled immediately and brought to your knees in quivering anticipation.
Aisha's putting her arms in your leg.
She's
cheering.
She's cheering.
You will relinquish control with a hungering passion, yearning to be subjected to my whims of sadistic torments or endless teasing. And it goes on and on and on. And I can't read it anymore because I need a moment.
All right. I think Bean needs some what they call CBT.
What's that?
Which we can't What's really that? Say.
Oh,
on
no.
The air.
Yes, he does. But if he had all of those items, he would.
I think Bean would enjoy some CBT.
Genital right. torture, I guess you'd call that.
Yes, you would.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Johnny in Ontario on line 6 first. And I think this is going to dovetail nicely into what Aisha's question was before the break in terms of the clothing and the props. Good morning, Johnny. You're on Ask a Dominatrix on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hello,
Gemini.
Hello. What is your favorite tool when you dominate a guy?
Favorite tool?
Yes.
A Makita power drill.
That's hard.
It's got to be
right
Makita,
there,
though, right?
Yeah, 1/8 bit, usually.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, that's so hard because I have so many... But
what gets asked for the most? Or I guess they don't ask, do they?
Actually, I do. I do. Oh, you do. I do have a little application to because everybody has different things that they like.
What's the most? What do you use the most?
I would say the
baseball bat.
Oh no!
Sorry, Johnny.
A flogger, a crop, a single tail.
Okay, so
paddles,
a whip.
A whip, yeah.
Some kind of whip. Bear trap?
Basic.
Bear trap.
Now there's one I know.
I didn't think of that. They walk in and they get caught in it.
There you go.
Thank you for the call.
A flogger's like a whip with a bunch of leather sort of tassels on the end of it, right?
Yes, okay.
What do you wear, Gemini?
Lots of leather, rubber, high heels, boots.
Heels.
A lot of black.
A lot of black, yes.
Yeah. Aisa already dresses all in black anyway.
So she's
halfway there. Now, Aisa, we're going to go through some calls, but if you have any questions in between, feel free.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Janet in Los Angeles. Good morning, Janet.
Hi, Kevin, Bean, Lisa, and especially the mistress.
Yes.
Hello, Janet.
Hi. I was wondering, in your private life, do you ever reverse the roles? Like, do you ever, get a dominatrix and,
you're the submissive? Is that what they call them?
Dominated.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not submissive. No.
That's a switch, right? Someone who goes back and forth?
Yes. And I actually did start off a switch when I was still at college, learning about my own sexuality, and I thought I'd make more money, actually, but no, the submissives don't want to see, know that their mistress is, crawling around kissing somebody else's feet. And after about the fifth or sixth session, I'm looking at the boot, I'm like, this isn't really doing it for me anymore.
You and me both, by the way.
I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. So, and then my business tripled, it was funny, so, yeah.
All right, let's go to Rob in Los Angeles. Good morning, Rob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, guys. How's everything going?
Good. Ask a dominatrix.
I want to know, what's the worst that you've ever hurt somebody? Like, has anybody been, hospitalized or something like that?
I try not to put you in the hospital, but...
it's bad for business.
Yeah, it's bad for business. But I've beaten people pretty bad, bloody.
Really?
Bruised, yeah.
Bloody?
Bloody, yeah.
Do you have... Is there a line that you will not cross, Gemini?
Yes, I won't do scat.
That's a good line.
That's about it.
That's a good line. Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of pain, I mean, like for instance, you hear the warnings about the people who are into the asphyxiation, for instance, that sort of thing, which can be very dangerous and can be deadly. I mean, would you go to that close to the line?
I have blacked people out, choked people out. Basically, that's what they want. And
you don't let them tap.
Sometimes, they're out for a while.
They want to be choked out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you have to be very careful about that. A lot of, mistresses won't play with that. It's,
it's very extreme.
You better know what you're doing.
How many people have you killed? Zero?
Today?
Zero.
What about your personal safety? Have you ever, do you screen these people or?
Well, as much as you can, a lot of it is instinctual because you can't, you can never really screen somebody until they get through the door. And I've been very lucky. I do have mistresses that have been stalked and...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Is there anything contractual involved? What's liability like? I mean, I know guys go into it wanting to be hurt, but every once in a while there has to be some guy who gets, jilted or feels scorned about the fact that you hurt him.
No, maybe not enough if I did it.
Do you use slave contracts at all? I know some dominatrix will have a guy actually sign a piece of paper or something, right?
No, I don't do
that. I want to be kicked in the balls, Kevin.
I need that piece of tape, Mike, when you get a chance.
As a matter of fact. But let me go back to the safety thing that Aisa was asking about, because you are, although powerful and dominating, you're very tiny, and it seems like you get a guy who's all excited or something that he might try to, control the situation, take advantage of the situation, and take advantage of you. You don't have security around or somebody just outside the door or anything like that?
No.
You have a stun gun?
No.
It's really not in the nature of a submissive, though, to try to take over.
Yeah, they're
right?
Submissive. They want to come in and relinquish control so we don't, unless, they have some serious psychological problems that, they might switch if you did something that they don't like.
Here's my question for you, Aisa, because you have such a great sense of humor and enjoy life so much. Uh-huh. Wouldn't you just crack up in some of the scenarios that we've discussed? If you were the dominatrix and you were saying something that was kind of outrageous and crazy, wouldn't you just start laughing?
Well, actually, I was thinking about it, thinking, halfway through, I'd probably stop and go, are you serious? You're in a Lammy costume.
Okay. Yeah. You have too good a sense of humor, I think. Plus, not that you do, but you couldn't smoke pot 24 hours a day and be a mistress, right? I said not that you do.
Oh.
Yeah, that might be a drawback. I see. You want to be in control of your faculties.
Wait. I don't know if I want to go to a stoned amateur dominatrix.
Want to get some food?
A slave, go get me some ding-dongs.
We are not known for our sensitivity.
And that's why it's good that we've got a resource to reach out to whenever we've got a question about the blacks and the whites. This is a weird story. I don't know if you guys heard about it. It was, until this week, a secret meeting that happened earlier in the month with the commissioner of baseball, who got together with some of the most prominent of the African-American players in the game of baseball. And they had a conference trying to figure out how they can attract more blacks to play the game.
Really?
Now, you might not think that's a problem. You may look at the team, the Dodgers field, and go, well, I don't really care how many of them are black. I just want them to be able to hit the ball. But apparently baseball thinks they've got a real problem. They think they're losing great athletes to football and to basketball, not so much to the hockey. And they're trying to figure out why that is, why Major League Baseball is only 8% African-American when in the 1970s it was almost 30% African-American.
Because they realize they can play any sport and they don't choose baseball because it blows?
Well,
no,
maybe I wouldn't make that choice, but maybe a lot of young athletes are. So anytime a touchy situation like this that involves race relations that we're uncomfortable with knowing how to handle, anytime something like that comes up, we're so happy that we've got an expert to go to who can help us shed some light on what's really happening here. And our friend Bruce Endicott is on the line. He is from the organization known as COFFEE. And I'm sorry, Bruce, COFFEE stands for what again?
The Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay. And I'm right. You would be the guy to go to. You'd be the point man to go to on this this very difficult to discuss issue of race in sports, right?
Well, we're glad to hear that Major League Baseball is thinking about trying to include more African Americans into the game.
Okay, so that's positive.
As you know, here at COFFEE, we believe that we like to cultivate a culture where everyone shares everything equally.
Right.
Even the whites, you know, just because the whites are superior doesn't mean we can't share everything we have with everyone. Well, we want to be Bruce, all enveloping.
Wait, you said the whites were superior. You did. Clearly you misspoke there.
Right.
All right.
So I think it's a great idea for the MLB to bring in more African Americans. Now, they haven't asked us for our plan yet, but we are preparing one. When they finally do come around and ask us to participate in these talks.
Bruce, do you mind if I just bring up one question before your ideas? And that is,
sure.
Does anyone else ask you except for us?
Oh, yeah.
You field a lot of calls from media?
Everyone at the club asks me all the time for my ideas.
At the club?
Usually, around the 17th hole, we get into some very spirited conversations.
Oh, I see. So this is a country club, a golf place,
sure.
Probably where minorities aren't allowed, I would imagine.
Well, let's not get crazy. I mean, we want to share everything, but come on, seriously.
Well, what would be... All right, that's another topic for another day. So Commissioner Selleck from baseball, he gets together
right.
with some of the high-profile black players, old players like
right.
Hank Aaron, new players like Derek Jeter, and he says, what would you guys do to bring blacks into the game? But they're not asking you, and it sounds like you've got some ideas.
Exactly. Selleck should take these points and bring them up in the next meeting.
Okay.
When he's talking to the African-Americans, to entice them to play the game of baseball... Say, gentlemen, from now on, you get to keep all the bases that you steal.
Well, that's...
Steal a base, take it home.
Well, that's not...
Really, if you steal something, you want to keep it, right? Isn't that their thought?
It's not that kind of stealing. It's a term that means you just advance 90 feet around the field. You don't actually keep the base.
But you know how literal they can be.
What do you mean their thought and they can be?
Well, you know, I steal a base. Why shouldn't I get to keep it? No wonder they don't like baseball.
Well, that's just dumb.
Like Indian giving, or Indian stealing in this case.
Okay, well, that's not going to happen.
Don't get me started on the
Indians. I mean, I don't think we will.
Let the players wear their baseball caps to the side. It looks so now and fat.
All right, so loosen up the uniform restrictions. You think that would be appealing to African-American players?
Right, have them put spinners on their cleats. You know, modern the game up a little bit.
Well, this sounds like insulting ideas. This does not sound like it'll help people get along.
Oh, you're right. They don't like to wear their baseball caps to the side. You're
no,
right,
just...
my bad. Listen, I'm trying to be real. I'm being for reals here, okay? I'm keeping it real to the street, yo.
Okay.
That's what you're famous for, Bruce, okay?
You know how players get to chew tobacco?
Of course.
When they're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let them chew crack, too.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
That's absurd.
First of all,
what they want to chew.
That is absurd.
Why don't you want the black man to chew what he wants to chew is what I'm asking you.
Well,
racist.
First of all, Bruce, I don't know if you watch baseball. You haven't been allowed to chew tobacco in at least 10 years in the majors. You have to chew gum and sunflower seeds now.
And crack.
No.
I don't think. No, that's a terrible idea.
Gum, sunflower seeds, crack.
Crack is whack.
Okay.
Bruce.
Nice, Kevin.
Thank you.
Well, I've been putting my place. And also, we have to change the name of what it's called when you whiff on a ball, when it goes past you and you swing at it.
Right.
Strikeout?
We got to change the strikes. Because ever since the three strikes law has been passed, it makes them very nervous.
Oh. What is this?
Imagine having two strikes. You have two strikes, and then you start to get nervous, and you can barely hit the ball because, oh, three strikes, your mind, being the African-American, your mind goes right to jail forever.
No, it doesn't.
Jail for life. And no wonder you can't play a game. You can't concentrate because you're thinking, I'm going to go to jail for life because of the three strikes law.
Have you ever met an African-American? Once?
I read Roots. I know about the African experience.
Yeah.
And my dentist went to a school that had black people in it.
Really?
That's as close as you get.
Listen about the three strikes thing, seriously.
Okay, listen.
I'm not kidding, because it makes them very nervous.
Right. We gotta
If you thought you were going to jail for life, could you swing a bat?
They don't think that. They're professional athletes playing a game, and they clearly understand the terminology and the rules. But there's no confusion there.
It's subliminal.
Wow.
You don't know.
It's a shame they don't call you for your good ideas, Bruce.
I'm here when you...
We have a little bit of unfinished business from Friday's show. We were very jam-packed on Friday. We didn't have a chance to really address this. But a new low has been reached on the Kevin and Bean program.
Look, we try
so hard to get these big-time celebrities on the show, Kevin. And then to have to worry about you running them off forever.
Look.
What's going on?
Look.
What are you doing?
Look.
What are you doing?
I don't know. But at least Sean Penn is naturally chatty and tends to do a lot of press and radio interviews.
Yeah, and he ad-libs a lot when he gets into that mode of being funny, man. There's just no stopping him.
Oh, wait a minute. He rarely talks to yahoos like us.
That's not him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Here's the thing, and we do the best we can with the guests that we're lucky enough to get on this program, but...
Listen, he shouldn't come on our show and talk about a comedy movie unless he wants to be funny.
Kevin, it's not a comedy movie. Yeah. It's a tragic, sad story about a guy who died. It's not comedy.
Oh.
So we try to do a little bit of research before the guests come on so that we know what their sensibility is. I mean, you're not going to have the same line of questioning for every guest. There's some guys who are just wacky and you can do anything with, talk about anything. Then there are other guys that you kind of handle with kid gloves a little bit. And Sean Penn, certainly, Kevin, you know, you're media savvy enough to know that his reputation has preceded him. You know what you're getting when it's Sean Penn, and it's not a barrel of monkeys, right?
This guy would regularly, as a young man, punch photographers out for impinging on his personal space and trying to take his photograph.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a barrel of laughs. I did know that going in. Yeah.
Okay, so then let's play the clip from the interview with Sean Penn, Academy Award-winning actor Sean Penn, directing the new film Into the Wild. And let's see if the listeners who hear this can figure out where the interview went horribly wrong. Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. It changed the whole thing around.
not at all, Kevin.
No,
but I did. But I did. It did lead me into my next question, which is a guy who has.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Now here's the thing.
Yes, what's the thing, Kevin?
When that stupid joke came to my mind, every red flag in me went off. Every single one. Don't say this. It's going to be a disaster. He doesn't have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a serious movie. Right. He hasn't been Spicoli in 20 years. All of it went off in my head. He's not going to like it. And my mouth just has a mind of its own. I'm sorry. It just, I couldn't, I knew it was bad.
Has a mind of its own.
It was like the mind for my rest of my body was going no, but my mouth said, all right, let's blurt it out, this is a good plan, knowing it was bad. I could not keep it in,
but at least it was also awkward, didn't quite fit into the conversation. At least it wasn't really a joke that came easily. You really had to force the wildly inappropriate thing into the...
Bean said, did you ever consider playing the role?
Right.
So that's that. Now we're talking about Sean Penn playing a role.
But he said no.
Right.
You said,
once he said no, how does that lead you to, if you had played it,
movie and make it a comedy, and then you could have been Spicoli in it, too?
What do you...
When you watch like Fox Sports West, they have like the 100 greatest hockey goals.
Yeah.
You never just show the goal. They never just show the slap shot. They got to show like a couple passes leading up.
Yes.
That's what the best part about this is. You hear Bean setting up something totally non-related, and Kevin just comes with the knockout punch.
Apparently, he was determined to bring up this couple of favorite goals.
You're such a liar. You totally
had to have.
I did not, although everything started moving in slow motion. As soon as Bean said, did you consider acting, Spicoli was the first thing that came to my mind, and then it was like, and my mind was going, no, 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 don't say it, don't say it. Spicoli!
Must force in Spicoli joke. Must force in Spicoli joke.
I knew it would be a disaster. Why couldn't I stop?
We don't know, Kevin.
I was on the conversation, and all I tried to do, as you heard at the end of the tape, was ask the next question as fast as possible so Mr. Penn didn't hang up. Lisa, what was going through your mind as Kevin started talking about fast times at freaking Ridgemont High?
That's our Kevin. That's what I was thinking. That's our Kevin. He's the same one that brings up dead dads interviews with actors.
Here's what I
What's your dad think of that? And then when we find out his dad's dead, he goes, well, good.
But at least you could excuse that of not knowing if the guy's father's dead or not. That's almost reasonable.
But Kevin has an unerring instinct to find those places. I don't know how he does.
Lisa's the only person that I like in this room because she tried to laugh it off.
I did.
I don't know if you could hear, but from Sean Penn's end, it was a black hole of sound. There was nothing coming back. I mean, he wasn't chuckling.
No.
He didn't
Going to validate with a response in
any courtesy laugh.
No.
He didn't even breathe. But here's Lisa May. Could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. He's changed the whole thing around. Thank you, Lisa. At least you tried.
It's in Lisa's job description, by the
it
way.
Is.
She has to laugh at our stupid jokes.
Yeah.
I don't know about your office, Ralph. You guys were listening to the show. What was it like in your office?
I don't know if you can hear it or not in that tape when you played it, but if you listen very carefully after Kevin says you hear a distinct thump, that's my head hitting the desk in the office where I just said, "Oh no!" And I just
could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. It's changed the whole thing around.
Not at all, Kevin.
No, yeah, but I did. I don't think you can hear the thump, but I slammed my head against the top of the desk. What in God's name is he thinking?
It's funny because that was the same scripture that was going through my mind.
Well, then you stop. Couldn't say anything.
I couldn't. It was
what
like
do you teach your daughters? Oh, when the red light comes, just run across the street. Run as fast as you can as the trucks go by.
You know how when you're just about to throw up, you can't help yourself. You go, I sure don't want to throw up. Don't want to throw up. It's involuntary. You cannot control it.
Usually you can run out of the room.
Yeah, I should have done that.
Yeah, if you had that,
I should have run out in the hallway and said, Spicoli!
Exactly. You just vomited Spicoli out into the bathroom.
Kevin, what response were you expecting from Sean Penn?
Dude, I'm telling
you. Did you think he was going to go,
no.
That's so funny.
I'm telling you, I knew it was a disaster before, during, and after I said it. I don't know. I don't know. I knew it was going to be bad. And yet, my mouth formed those words and it came out anyway. So that happened.
You might need to step down. You might need to take a good, long, hard look at yourself. Like the congressman who's soliciting gay sex in the bathroom for the good of the party.
Hey, I just had a wide stance.
You might just have to step down. Just abdicate.
Maybe you guys should warn me the next guest that comes up that's super serious and I'll just kind of pull back.
Sure, that'll
that's
happen.
That's true. You didn't know.
That'll work.
In your defense, you didn't know.
Yeah.
Surly Sean Penn talking about a death movie would have been a serious conversation. How could you have known?
Hey, Kevin!
Thank you.
Woo-hoo! For Kevin!
Thank you.
All right, Kevin.
Woo!
All right. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
And let's face it, this week in California, gay marriages are all the rage. Someone has figured out a way to make a buck off of it. It's been a big week for celebrity gay and lesbians in the news, talking about the new Supreme Court ruling that overturned the ban on gay marriage in the state of California. Of course, we told you a couple of days ago that Star Trek actor and Heroes actor George Takei is going to walk down the aisle this summer with his longtime boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Ellen and Portia are finally going to get married. They've been together a number of years by now, I guess
it seems like. Yeah.
And some of the details are starting to leak out. Apparently, it's going to be a very hot ticket. You know, Ellen and Portia are both very popular in Hollywood. They both have lots of friends. Everybody's going to want to be at that wedding. And this is interesting, and this is the beauty of being a celebrity, is that apparently one of Ellen's favorite singers, Justin Timberlake, is not only going to attend the wedding, but is going to perform at the wedding an original song that he wrote for the happy couple.
No kidding.
Wow.
How's that for a little bit? Can you just imagine? I mean, just whoever your favorite singer is, Kevin, for you, for instance, imagine if when you got married, Rage Against the Machine played your wedding and sang a song called Hey, Way to Go, Kevin and Melissa. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that just be like so bizarre?
I would be more excited about Rage than I would my wedding.
I know.
Yeah, that's weird.
So anyway, so JT apparently is going to be doing him a solid, I guess, coming up this summer.
We actually found some of the clips online, if you want to hear a few
song?
Of them.
Already?
Apparently he's demoing a bunch of different stuff.
Oh, wow.
No kidding.
Give them some choices for their wedding. So this is for Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi's wedding. This is Justin Timberlake.
You can eat fish tacos every day. Oh. Legally. You can sit right down, watch the WNBA.
Come on.
Legally. Softball is your favorite game to play. Cause you're a lesbian. The court ruled that diving is okay.
Okay, so that's a little bit on point, well, though.
That's why he has choice. That's why there's more than one. I mean, maybe they
right,
don't
but
like
at the wedding, everybody. I mean, shouldn't at that point, once you're at the wedding, people should be over the fact that they're both girls? Come on.
Well, I would think so, but that's why he's giving them choices. They don't have to pick that one. They can pick this one.
You're bringing flannel back.
Yeah.
Roll up your sleeves with a cigarette pack.
Yeah.
You've got lots of keys, and that's a fact.
Yeah.
I've got a rainbow tattooed on my back.
Yeah.
See, maybe they don't like that one. Maybe they prefer that one.
I don't think real lesbians roll the smokes up in their t-shirts and have lots of keys. I think that's just Lisa on Halloween. I think that's just her interpretation for her costume.
Justin Timberlake must have seen Lisa's Halloween costume.
Yeah, he must have.
Well, okay, so they don't like the first two. Maybe this.
And tacos for dinner. Furry tacos for dinner. There'll be tacos for dinner. Furry tacos for dinner.
Oh,
furry tacos for dinner.
Yeah,
furry tacos for dinner.
I don't think he's trying really anymore at this point.
What are you talking about?
Come on. Put a little work into it, Justin. Come on.
You don't like the first three. This one, I think, is the keeper. This is the one that they're going to play at the wedding.
Just cut your hair, girl, and wear it short. Because the court says it's okay to do. Flat top. Melissa Etheridge and Katie Lang. And even Samantha Ronson, too. Lindsay Lohan's girlfriend. If you've got some work boots, put them on.
Yeah.
Bikini wax today. Because you never want to get in your teeth.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. All right.
Really?
All right. With that.
Really?
Come on. And one more.
How great is male ass?
Every once in a while, we get a little bit worried about the crazy people on our program.
That guy. What would he need him for?
You are him, Doto.
It's time to talk to an old friend of ours who we haven't spoken to in months.
It's been a few months, at
four
least.
Or 5 months. Yeah. Doto?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is you. Yeah.
We have been talking, it's almost about since August.
Has it been that long?
Since yeah. August.
Well, you've been traveling around the world, haven't you, Doe?
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, that's me. Ralph.
That was Ralph. Doe's the international man of mystery. He travels with his parents, or dad, all around the world. You were teaching English for a while, is that correct?
No, I helped manage a school, Kevin.
Help manage a school, okay. Oh. I got some emails from you recently that were a little troubling.
Yeah.
Where have you been traveling recently, Doe?
I was in Hong Kong, Kevin Bean.
Okay. Okay.
And I was in China.
China, too.
I'm just looking for some opportunities. Just check with the old man.
What sort of opportunities are you looking for?
Import-export investments.
Yeah.
Are
you a
secret
agent?
Yeah, what is import-export investments? That sounds like a cover.
Mm-hmm. Everyone says that.
Are you carrying out missions for the government?
Nope.
Are you a hitman for the CIA?
Nope. Mm. Why would I do that, Kevin?
Because James Bond always said he was in the import-export business.
Right.
That's why I just thought you might be a secret agent. But also, something that concerns us and makes us think you may be a secret agent is we got an interesting email from you.
Yeah, and it's written to Lightning. And before I read this, I'd just like you to know, Doe, that I've always been a fan of yours.
Yes, Kevin.
Lightning, not so much so.
Right.
Okay, but here's the email. Jay, it's Lightning's first name. I have a permit to carry a gun in the state of California. Just got a few months ago. Does that concern you?
Well, as long as you're responsible about it, it wouldn't be concerned. If you're irresponsible, then that would be an issue, Kevin.
Okay, but when you write an email to somebody and say, I got a permit to carry a gun, does that concern you? Is that a threat?
No, I don't think so.
Should he be concerned?
Nope.
Because if I were him, I would be concerned. If I were me, I would have nothing to worry about. But if I were Lightning, I think I would be concerned.
I don't think there's anything to be concerned about as long as I'm pretty mature about it. If I'm not mature about it, then there would be a prop, Kevin.
Well, you're nothing not mature. We know that.
That's right. But how do we know if you're going to be mature about
it
or not?
Yeah, what if you get upset about something?
Well, at least, come on, everybody, well, if I'm upset, at least I know how to control my temper or my anger.
But
Kevin,
no, you don't. You just killed a dude in Thailand or something, didn't you? Didn't you stalk a guy and then smash his head in?
Nope.
Then why would you write me an email detailing how you stalked a guy, waited at his house, and killed him with by smashing his head in?
That was months ago, Kevin.
Well, it still counts.
We're not saying...
I don't care how long ago you murdered somebody. It still counts.
We're not saying it happened now. It just we're a little concerned. Because when you get an email detailing that, and then you changed your story and said, no, you were just exaggerating, and now you're carrying a gun, you have a license to carry a gun, you know...
You're a little worried.
If you had a gun the day you allegedly stalked the dude and hit him in the head, you know... Should we be scared?
Well, at this point, let's, Kevin being the bet, Kevin?
Yes.
Should you be scared? That's pretty subjective, Kevin, but at least I'm not going to do anything stupid, but why would I want to jeopardize my life, Kevin?
Well, we're just saying you've proven in the past that you have some problems controlling your temper, and if you have a firearm, that's a bad combination.
Dope.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, don't be sorry.
Not only did you write me a letter detailing how you killed someone, Doto, with your hands, but let's not forget that you ended up in prison in the Orient because of your fist fight, all stemming from your bad temper because someone was picking on you.
This was at the bar, Kevin and me.
But that doesn't change anything.
Yeah, we don't swear.
You have a gun now, and if you were in that situation with your firearm, what's to say you wouldn't use it?
Do you have a weapon, Doto?
Yeah.
You have a weapon.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of weapon is it? A pistol?
Could be.
Okay.
Easy. Easy, mystery man.
And you say you're licensed.
It's like it's a permit, Lisa.
Yeah, how did you get a permit to carry a gun, by the way?
Well, I applied months ago, and you have to go through a long process.
Okay. And you went through the whole process, and they said, yes, this is the guy we think will be...
State of California said, yes!
Responsible.
We want Doto carrying a gun.
I know they're pretty rigid when it comes to granting license, Kevin.
But right. Don't you have to have some sort of reason, like you transport large sums of money, or there's some sort of safety factors where you have a legitimate reason to carry a concealed weapon?
Yeah. I thought it was extremely hard question. To get a permit to carry a concealed weapon.
Heard.
Extremely difficult.
Did they come back to you and say, yes, you can, or did you just move on?
They told me that we can, but we let you have it on a temporary being for the cease. Like a temporary permit, Kevin.
A temporary permit. Okay, so then you went out and got what type of weapon?
Do I have to disclose it, Kevin?
Well, no.
What difference does it make?
If it's not illegal, what difference does it make?
I'm not sure what's the name, Kevin. I have to check.
I think it's a .45 caliber, like you clearly wrote in another email.
How dangerous is a .45 caliber?
Very! If you don't know how dangerous it is, you shouldn't be carrying a weapon.
Doko, is it a concealed weapons permit?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it is. I don't think there's any way he
got a
concealed
weapon to carry,
permit.
That, there's only one. That means you can conceal it on your body. That's what the weapon to permit to carry is.
You can go through the check process so that you can buy a gun.
Right. You can own one, right?
You can own one.
But a permit to carry is very different.
I don't think he has that. I don't believe him.
Do you have that, Doto?
Have what?
Permit to carry the gun.
So you say that getting a permit is pretty rare, Kevin?
It's almost impossible. I'm saying you have a license to own it, but you are not allowed to carry it on you.
So that's only granted to what type? So the percentage is not likely, right?
Yeah, and it's not cross-eyed immigrants.
Oh, easy.
Hey, Psycho Mike, what's wrong with you?
He's not a citizen, and he has horrible vision, and he's trying to see.
And he has a weapon.
He's got a .45. What are you, nuts?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how does he think he's in
the game?
He meets the criteria.
Psycho Mike at krock.com, by the way, Doto.
What's going to do, email him a bullet?
I'm just letting them know who's speaking.
Kevin, okay. Kevin?
Yes, yes.
I'll be going to Hong Kong in a couple of weeks, Kevin.
Okay. Well, you're not allowed to take guns with you?
I know that, Lisa. Don't worry about that. I don't take anything.
You don't take the weapon with you?
Nope. Why would I? No, Kevin.
Right, maybe you should try to take it on a plane.
Come on, Ralph. Don't be nuts, Ralph.
That might be interesting.
Don't be nuts.
It'd be an interesting experiment to see if Doto could get away with it.
Doto, it seems like the only time you've ever needed something like a gun is when you're overseas.
Yeah, true.
That's when you get into trouble.
Well, look, I never have it overseas, Lisa.
Okay, Doto.
I think no answers here. A lot of questions.
Here's our point. If we could just narrow it down to one thing.
Okay.
You shouldn't have a weapon.
That's all?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that the Second Amendment says that people can have a camera.
Right? Yes.
People who have control of themselves.
In general, that's true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the people will have that have a weapon should have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, it also says there's a right to free speech, but still, we have to watch what we say.
Yeah, I know that, Kevin.
On the radio, because we have responsibility to.
Yeah, we all know that, Ralph. FCC regulation.
Exactly. Right. So the Bill of Rights is not absolute. And we're saying, perhaps in this case.
So the Bill of Rights is kind of a gray area, right, Ralph?
Well, not gray, but in this particular case, I think it's better if you just don't follow the whole Second Amendment.
Simple as that, right, Ralph?
For your own self, you know, protection.
Yeah. Sure. Right.
That's all.
Lightning, I met a Korean woman.
Okay.
Did you just say lightning? I met a Korean woman.
Yes, you did.
The email.
Having conversations with other people,
but we haven't. Lightning's not in here.
Yeah, I know that, Ralph.
Kevin.
Okay. Seriously.
Right, so you have a woman? Is she 5'8", 5'9"?
She's like about 5'7".
5'7". Oh, way too short.
Yeah, she's a stewardess, flight attendant.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
And did you meet her at gunpoint?
No, I met her at the lounge in Korea.
Has she seen your weapon?
Nope.
That was a euphemism.
What do you mean by you have a girl? Like, I mean, are you keeping her?
In your trunk?
Or is she still in Korea?
When I was at the lounge, Kevin, I met her, I got her number, then right. She flies back and forth to L.A. So when she's in L.A., okay. I went out with her a few times.
I see, okay. All right. We have a lot of phone calls on hold. We don't have time to put them on, but all of them are saying the same thing, which is basically you can't have a concealed permit unless you know the sheriff or some loophole.
It's very difficult to get. Mm-hmm.
So we're suggesting perhaps sell the weapon.
We'll get it, right, Kevin?
I just think in this particular case, you might be best to ignore the Second Amendment. See, Senorita?
Yes, Kevin.
Okay.
Or clean it vigorously with a round in the chamber. That's the other thing we're suggesting.
One or the other. All right, Doe, we got to run, but give up the weapon.
Tell Beat I need a babe.
Okay, well, our work is done. If I could be anybody else on this planet, I would be Sofia Vergara, because seriously, look at that. But then if I couldn't be her, I would be Jack Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Johnson.
Let's hear it for Jack. Come
there
on,
he
Jack.
Is.
Jack's going to sit down and play a song for us first before we begin
what
with
a
questions.
Great idea.
I like it.
He sings too?
That's uncanny.
He does, yes.
How's it going, you guys?
There we go.
Horizon has been defeated by the pirates of the new age. Alien casinos. Well, maybe it's just time to say that things can go bad and make you wanna run away. But as we grow older, the trouble just seems to stay. There's future complications in the strings between the cans, but no prints can come from fingers if machines become our hands. And then our feet become the wheels, and then the wheels become the cars, and then the rigs begin to drill until the drilling goes too far. Things can go bad and make you wanna run away. But as we grow older, horizon begins to fade away. Begins to fade away.
thing on my jigsaw puzzle. Anger, don't you step too close, 'cause people are lonely and only animals with fancy shoes. And hallelujah, zigzag nothing, and misery is on the loose, 'cause people are lonely and only animals with too many tools that can build all the junk that we sell. Oh, sometimes, man, it make you wanna yell. Things can go bad, make you wanna run away. But as we grow older, horizon begins to fade away. Begin to fade away.
Jack Johnson?
That goes down pretty good with a couple of cervezas, doesn't it?
Summer music.
That is perfect. Jack, welcome back on K-Rock, man. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you. You know, we were talking earlier, who would have known that a good-looking, you know, surfer kid from Hawaii who also happens to be a big rock star would attract so many ladies? But you have got, you have got a beautiful audience, my friend.
That's a compliment to you guys, not me.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, of course, the people in this room know, but maybe some folks listening may not, that your new record comes out On and On.
Yeah.
Tell us about it. I think people know kind of what to expect from you, but tell us about it from your perspective as the man who created it.
Well, it's a pretty mellow record. It's we did the whole thing in Hawaii, and so recorded it in a garage. Spent half the day just outside and half the day in the garage making music.
So you're working as hard as ever?
Yeah. Hardly working.
Did you have something in mind when you went in to record the record? Were you looking to do something different from the last one, for instance?
Not really. We're just lazy. We just kind of wanted to make the same sound, you know, just acoustic guitar, drums, and bass. And
Are you surprised at all? I mean, most people get into music because they want people to hear it, but are you surprised at how popular you are at this point?
I guess so. I don't really pay attention to it. You only notice when you come to somewhere like this and see all these people. A minute ago, I was just driving in the car with my friend and making fart jokes.
But, I mean, you got to notice it when you realize that you're playing venues like the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. I mean, that has to kind of be a heads up that that people like you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful venue, and it's fun to get to play those kind of venues that are just places you've heard about and gone and seen shows. And yeah, it's overwhelming, I guess, to answer the question.
Yeah, you know? I don't know how it couldn't be.
It's bizarre. It's fun.
Now, Jack's going to do a bunch of numbers for us here today, and the beautiful thing about the breakfast shows that we do is we give your fans, who frankly are far better interviewers than we are, we give them the chance to ask you the questions. And
they look like they've had a few beers, though. I don't know.
Yeah, they started early. A lot of these people were here at 5 a.m.
And it's early, man. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. Oh, they've been here since 5. You just got here. They've been up since the all hours of the night. So we can't quite guarantee the quality of the questions you will be getting.
Out. It's unbelievable, the passion of the fans that we have here today. And, Ralph, you got a whole bunch of them right where you are here at the Sagebrush.
I do. We're going to start off with Eric. What's your question, Eric?
Hey, Jack. Thanks for coming. What's it like to ride Pipeline?
Pipeline is fun. It can be anything. Sometimes it's this big and sometimes it's, you know, as tall as that ceiling. So it's really fun some days and really scary other days.
Have you ever destroyed yourself on it?
Yeah, a lot. These are fake teeth I got, and I got about 150 stitches in my head one time. I've gotten pretty busted up out there.
Yeah. What do you think of all the human feces in our water here in Southern California?
All the different species?
No, the human feces.
Oh.
I wish it was different species.
Yeah. We got the brown waves here in L.A., you know.
You got feces here. I got species. And,
yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Ralph, you got another
question?
No,
I don't know.
Yeah, Monique has
a
question.
Should do something to clean it up, probably.
Hi, Jack. What is the most significant difference you find between the creative processes of filmmaking and songwriting, and do you have a preference?
That's a good question. Well, no, they're both pretty fun. I like them both. But music's real easy. You just sit around with a guitar and you get to play, and it's fun. With the camera work, you have to have all the gear and stuff, and it's sort of, you got to keep it organized and clean and all that stuff, so it gets kind of hard. But the creative process, it's both, you know, pretty personal, and I don't know, I'm babbling. They're both pretty fun. I like them both.
All right.
How many songs you reckon you've written, Jack?
Probably hundreds, you know, that never make the hear anybody else ever hears, but maybe 30 or so.
Is there one that's really terrible that you could sing us? that you hate personally, you can't believe you came up with?
Let me think.
Okay, no. All right, that's fine.
Jack, by the way, a lot of people don't know, he wrote Into Club for,
yes,
50
Cent.
Right,
for 50 Cent.
That's
why
he didn't think it was right for him to record, but I think he did a real nice job with that song.
Gave it away.
Ralph Garman.
We got Sam here. What's your question, Sam?
Morning, Jack. My question is, what is the weirdest thing a fan ever asked you to do?
I get, you know, people trying to ask me to sign different places and stuff. And
yeah?
So that kind of stuff, but...
like body parts and stuff?
Yeah, body parts. I had, you know, it's probably the weirdest... This just reminded me of something. One time, these two guys were like bodybuilders. I saw them standing in line. I was at this... it was at K-Rock, actually. It was that big show down in that field.
The Weenie Roast?
Yeah, the Weenie Roast. Mm-hmm. And... sorry, I forgot the name. And so we were down there, and these guys were standing in line. I saw them, and I was kind of fearing because they were all greased up and really all built up and everything. And I was wondering what these guys were going to be up to. And they got to up to the table, and they get there, and they both flex, and they go, "Sign our biceps, dude!"
Oh my
they,
god!
Like, both are flexing in front of me, and I was just like, I just told these girls in front of them I wasn't going to sign their boobs, and so I was like, "I'm sorry, I'm not signing body parts." So I kind of got out of it because these guys were pretty obnoxious.
Okay, Michelle, what's your question?
Good morning, Jack. Listen, morning. I know you have a really extensive professional career with the great Ben Harper, who I'm sure a lot of people here enjoy.
Yeah.
My question is, I want to know what your personal relationship with Ben Harper is. Are you guys friends outside the studio and off tour?
Yeah, we're good friends.
Lovers?
Hey,
oh, would you
wrong
stop it?
We love each other. You
I'm
know.
Just asking.
No, but...
you hang out?
Yeah, we hang out from time to time. He's... You know, he loves music, and he plays a lot of music. He that's like his whole thing. On days off where I want to try to sneak off and go surfing, a lot of times he wants to just write a song or something. But, you know, a lot of times we'll go for a surf. Or...
All right, we got a bunch more questions from the audience. Ralph Garman is here at the Sagebrush. Who's next for us?
Just want to know, what's your favorite song to perform?
Either Mud Football or Bubble Toes or Flake, probably.
Is it?
Because those ones seem to, you know, really get the crowd going, and that's what playing live is all about, is sort of... Half my deal and half the crowd that comes, we all sort of work together to make the show. And so when everybody's singing along, that's usually the funnest ones.
Cool. Okay, hey, thanks. I've heard the Bubble Toes a lot. I still don't have have any idea what the hell you're talking about there.
I really...
Bubble Toes.
Yeah.
I don't... Maybe I'm not going to get that one.
It's my... well, I don't want to embarrass her too much. My wife, she's got cute toes. They're just real round, you know, like a gecko's toes.
Listen to the ladies. Aww.
And I won't point her out. She's here, but
she's, oh, she's here. Oh, yeah, where is she? Stand
no,
up.
I can't point her out.
Oh, okay.
She'll get embarrassed.
Does she get mad at you?
No, then everybody's gonna try to look at her feet and stuff.
He's a gentleman on top of everything else. Next question.
Hey, Jack. My name is Jonathan, and I'm from Los Angeles. And I just want to say how amazing I think you are. I've already heard some of the tracks off the new album, and I wanted to know if there's plans for a third album because I just can't wait anymore.
Oh, really?
I need a
what?
Third album already.
He's still got a new one coming out tomorrow.
He's already over that one though.
The kids these days, man, they got the internet.
No kidding.
They've had my record for years.
How did you hear this stuff already?
I actually went on his website and paid to download the songs a week early. So
you were selling that for $10, weren't you, on your website?
Yeah, they got it early too. I mean, we meant to get it to them a little early, but they got it like a week or two ago, I think, when they pre-ordered it off the website.
And when are you going to get the third one done?
That's his question, man. You're not working hard enough. You're too lazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe next summer we'll record again.
Do you have any concerns? Maybe it doesn't affect a guy like you as much because you've got such a live following, but do you have any concerns about the downloading and the MP3s of your music being out there, people not having to pay to get it?
Such a tough subject because I don't feel like I have the right to speak for the industry at all, because I'm sure there's a lot of artists that really, you know, brings them down because they're really planning on making their living from doing it. And it's I can only speak for myself. I get really excited just to know people like the music, and I really don't care too much when people download my music. I mean, and that's just my own stuff, so I'm not speaking for everybody.
Breakfast with Jack Johnson. A quick break. We come right back on the world-famous K-Rock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
But if you were Sofia Vergara, wouldn't you keep getting banged by guys? I mean, is that really how you want to spend the rest of your life, Kevin, if you're going to swap bodies with somebody?
All right, I'll just be Jack.
Yeah, maybe you ought to just be Jack Johnson. I think that's good. You had a question in the audience, Jack, just about how you first got into music at the very beginning. Were you super young when you started?
I was 14 when I first started playing, and it was all about, it's not time to make a change, just relax and take it easy, you're still young, that's your fault, there's so much you have to know, that and there was like, hey, where did we go?
There you go.
Days when the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey, hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog. Oh, our hearts were jumping in you, my brown eyed girl.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Sorry.
And then there was Back in
they
Black.
They want to keep singing it.
was Back in Black that he did. That was his version, yeah.
See, the difference is the rest of us hear Van Morrison on the radio and go, wow, I wish I could do that, but that's where it ends.
You actually just took the next step and did it.
Well, that was the thing is my my dad's friend, this guy, Pef, he lives in Manhattan Beach, actually, Pef Ike, and he would come over to Hawaii and visit, and he'd bring his Martin with him, and he would start playing those songs. We'd all sing along on the front porch at barbecues, and it'd be so much fun. And then he would leave, and we'd all sit around at the barbecues and be like, this isn't quite as fun anymore.
Someone's got to learn how to play the guitar.
So he taught me the chords, and I would lead the family sing-alongs and when our friends would come over, and that was it. Yeah, and then Buffett.
Sure. Somebody yelled Buffett from the audience.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. I've wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all.
Jack Johnson. Hey.
Wow.
That's just right for this crowd, all the beer drinking going on.
Dude, I think you could totally win American Idol with that song. I really do.
We got Janice. What's your question, Janice?
Hi, Jack. My question is, you've toured with a ton of different people, you know, including Ben Harper and G. Levin's of Special Sauce and Mason Jennings. And is there any one in particular that you've really, really enjoyed? I mean, you must love them all, but...
Yeah, they're all good friends, and it's all fun, you know, playing music with all those guys. You know, G. Love and Special Sauce, those guys are really cool. And we always just have a really good time. It's like, we sit around and just, anytime we get a chance, we play music. He always busts out his harmonica, and I got the guitar, and... So, you know, we'd like to do more stuff in the future together, maybe a record together or something like that.
You know, it's so funny. There's so many people, when a harmonica gets brought out at the party, that ends the party. But apparently not the case with you and your friends. Which
Garrett, he's good at it. He's good.
It's pretty cool.
All right, one more question.
Elizabeth, what's your question?
Hi, Jack. I was just wondering if you would give me surfing lessons.
I used to. I used to be a director of a surf camp for little kids.
Is that right?
Yeah, for 3 years when I was in college. My summer job was director of this Santa Barbara surf camp.
Was it tough to teach kids?
It was the easiest job in the world. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
All day at the beach.
Because they're easy to hold down under the water and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you,
ride the wave, you punk.
Do you like the surfing part of it better than you do the music part of it? Is that?
Well, I like
them
both.
Like it,
they
right?
go together.
Yeah.
Surfing during the day, music at night. You know.
There you go. That's the perfect life right there, huh? Yeah. It's fantastic.
Jack, can you do another song for everybody?
Right. Yeah, one more.
Another song from Jack Johnson? Anyone? Yes?
Sleeping eyes, and I know that when she said she's gonna try, well, it might not work because of other ties. And I know she usually has some other ties, and I wouldn't wanna break 'em. I wouldn't wanna break 'em. Maybe she'll help me
to untie this, but until then, well, I'm gonna have to lie to it. Seems to me that maybe it pretty much always means no. So don't tell me, you might just let it go.
You guys can sing it with me if you want.
And oftentimes we're lazy, it seems to stand in our way. 'Cause no one, no, not no one likes to be let down.
Jack Johnson. On the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
That was good stuff, Jack. Thank you very much for being here.
We are running up K-Rock's long-distance bill at every opportunity.
Pointless exercises and radio tedium. This is what this is.
Let me explain to you what this story is.
Let me explain to you and what this is.
And then you tell us how we can do anything except call chili, okay? The teens call their public orgies panseo. On a typical Friday afternoon in the Chilean capital of Santiago, hundreds gather in an urban park for a few hours of sexual experimentation.
Yay!
When the party is over, no contact information is exchanged. They just go, they have sex in public at the park, they have a huge orgy, and then they leave. And this is becoming more commonplace in Chile.
I'm all for that.
Okay,
don't get me wrong. I never have problem with any of the stories that spur you down this wrong-headed path.
How do we not make this call?
The stories are always interesting.
Right.
However, your version of what you call investigative journalism usually involves calling a 7-Eleven or a guy who works the counter at the Holiday Inn in Santiago and says, do you know about the sexy teens who are having the orgies? Sir, the orgies, do you know about them?
How dare you?
Click. That's usually how the investigative journalism goes.
I believe it was the last time we tried this. We got somebody who knew the story, talked to us. Remember that?
We did.
That was
right.
A first in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show.
In the last one, we're 100%.
So...
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a guy who gets up to bat 1,000 times.
Yes, but I just hit a home run. How dare you?
And but the rest of the time, you struck out. You
sure.
Didn't even get a piece of the ball.
That's correct.
Just three.
Right. Let's call Santiago, Chile,
and find out more information about the pun sale because it sounds like fun. One 15-year-old girl with pink hair and a pierced chin, Ralph, named Natalia, says, it's all about having fun. This time in the park, I had 7 partners. That's what's going on with the youth in Chile.
I'm all for the swinger lifestyle. I'm just not for you calling Chile and being bad. That's what I'm not for.
Mike has now pushed 75 numbers. I don't know.
Nothing has happened.
I don't know where he's calling.
Do I have to turn on the technical aspects of this failure that happens every time?
You don't understand.
If you'd like to make a phone call.
we're going to get it. So we're dialing it now. Here we go.
There we go.
Okay.
Santiago, Chile now.
Yeah. Oficina Victor Lobos.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Hi, do you speak English? Do you speak English, ma'am?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, come on. That wasn't our fault, though, Ralph.
That's what I'm talking about.
We made the call. That's not our fault.
It is your fault because you made the
call. That was the Grand
Hyatt. How did you not see the cause and effect?
That was the Grand Hyatt. Let's try the Ritz-Carlton.
Why would someone at a hotel hang up when you say, do you speak English? If I wanted to make reservations there, that's a perfectly natural question.
Thank you, Lisa.
Maybe she doesn't speak English and she can't understand what you're asking her.
No one in that hotel? Come on.
Every time this happens, it's the goddamn same result, Lisa.
Not last time.
How is it there? People's fault in the country.
Not last time is what I'm saying.
Okay, who could predict that?
Say, habla inglés.
Oh, good. Good.
Habla inglés. Banco Popular. How are you backing their play on this one?
Well,
how are
they
you
standing by them?
They have.
It worked once out of 1,000 times.
But it was the last time, so now we're on a roll.
Exactly.
We're hot, Ralph. You don't understand. You don't walk away from a hot table, okay?
It was the only time. It wasn't the last time.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hola.
Is this Chile? Is this the country of Chile?
I hear someone. I hear
her. Yeah, there's definitely something going on.
Shut up, Ralph. Hello?
Hold on.
That's some pretty good hold music.
Okay, we're on hold.
Good.
That's something.
No, we're not on hold. We're inside a music box.
But someone was there. Hello?
Hola?
Hello?
Mike, did you dial one of the numbers that they vetted before the bit? Okay.
Hello?
I don't know. Please speak to us, sir.
Hola.
Ralph is going to quit the show unless somebody says hello.
Someone's there, though. You guys
they
can hear
are,
it, right?
Yeah.
I may go with them.
All right. Dial it again. Listen, this is not working.
By all means.
Try it one more time.
Take another 7 minutes of dialing. to get
right, this is the last time.
Ballerina on top of a music box.
This is the last time, weird. Ralph.
They're having orgies in the park, Ralph. That's the part you're missing.
I get the story.
So let's call and find out more.
People
you are
know.
Truly the abused spouse who does not leave the house after being beaten with an inch or
How dare
Maybe
you?
This time he won't come home drunk and will love me. That's what you're the wife saying.
Last time was so much magic.
It was last time was the only time it ever worked.
But it's like saying you never win in Vegas right after you hit a jackpot. You can't convince somebody of that right after they win. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
Thank
exactly.
you, Lisa.
I'm All glad right. we're doing
Mike
this.
Looks All like right, he's putting Mike. It on hold. Here we go. Let's try it one more time. What are you dialing, Mike?
Hang on.
Trying the Ritz-Carlton, Santiago.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. You speak English, sir.
Yes, I do.
Yes, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock in Los Angeles. How are you?
Awesome hearing you guys.
Awesome hearing us, guys. What do you mean?
So not Spanish.
Oh, because I always hear you guys on your webcast.
You don't.
Yeah, every morning.
What are the chances of this?
Are you kidding?
This is a setup.
It is. Hey,
no, it's not.
Is it the King of Mexico?
Here's what's funny. Here's what I want to tell you guys is funny. This guy, Victor Lobos, sent us an email saying, hey, I live in Chile, and I listen to the show, and I can find out about the story. So we set him up. So this was a setup from the beginning, and it took us 15 minutes to get a hold of him.
Still couldn't get through.
First, the woman hung up on us. Then we had hold music. Then there was someone there. We couldn't hear who it was. And it was a setup ahead of time.
You guys blow.
That's how good we are.
But now...
All right, listen. We're almost out of time. Victor,
tell us about the Ponceo. We read about it in Newsweek this week. Apparently very popular in your city, in your country. Teenage Georgie's in the park. What's going on, dude?
Well, there's this thing going about teenage tribes going on.
Tribes?
Is that like gangs?
Like urban tribes, they call it.
Okay.
Themselves. And some of them are called Pokemons.
Pokemons?
Pokemon, they put the poke in Pokemons. I got that, all right.
No.
And they got all this look, you know, with their hairstyles and clothes, and, well, they're going nuts.
Wait a minute. They have hairstyles and clothes?
Are you saying that they try to dress up like Pokemon?
Not like... Exactly like the Pokemons. They're more like a
emo,
kind of like a gothic or emo thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but how are they having sex in public? That must be against the law in your country.
It is. But some crazy things are going on. Like right in front of my office, we always watch a couple of lesbian schoolgirls go at it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on! You're just saying that.
I need to move to Santiago.
You sit on a throne of lies. That you would not even be answering the phone if that was going on in front of your window, Victor.
I'll send you some pictures, man.
Okay, Victor, first we need pictures. Then we need you to approach them and get us their phone numbers.
I'm not sure they'll speak English, but I'll try to translate.
Don't worry about that.
We can get right through any kind of language barrier.
Look, I believed that the story was true because I don't think Newsweek would print something crazy like this if it weren't true. This didn't come out of the Inquirer, right? It's Newsweek. But you're telling me that you've seen with your own eyes, you've seen these kids doing this, Victor?
Yeah, not actual sex, but pretty much close to it.
Making out everything else.
Wow. How about that? And what are the adults saying? What are the parents saying in Santiago? I mean, are they trying to stop it, or is it they just shrug their shoulders and go, well, there's nothing you can do. They're just kids.
I think that's just the way things are going right now. They have their own parties, like, and they're during the daytime, actually.
During the daytime?
When the parents are at work.
Wow. That's great. Fantastic. I got to move to Chile.
you guys got to come down here. We got a lot of wine and a lot of
women?
Countryside to go watch.
Wine and countryside. That's what Kevin and Bean are all about. They love their wine
and
countryside. We were
hoping the second one would be some woman, females, girls, something like that. But.
All right, Victor, before we hang up, how did you happen to end up listening to the Kevin and Bean show on KROQ.com? Why do you even know about us?
About 7 years ago, I was trying to look for a radio that had rock music on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how we got to it, and everybody here at the firm listens to you guys in the morning because here with the time change, We start leasing it to you guys around 8 o'clock in the morning, so it's pretty good.
Nice.
Wow.
Beautiful. All right. Well, listen, you're awesome to talk to us. You hang on. We're going to put you on with our producer, Alex, and see if we can send you some T-shirts or something, all right?
Awesome. Speak to the super whore.
All right, Victor, have a great day, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Two for two, Ralph. We'll take your apology now.
Oh, I didn't
we'll
know.
Take your apology.
I didn't know
we'll
it
take
was
your
a setup.
Sorry, Kevin. I mean, I was wrong.
No. How well did the first call at the hotel? How well did that go?
It was a rough
That's standard
start.
Operational procedure.
But just what
because
an ending.
Just because a team comes out in the first quarter and plays poorly doesn't mean they don't have time to bring it back around.
You cannot shoot free throws. That's your problem.
Ordinarily, no matter what bad news you give Vice President Cheney, his response is so, but not this time. You know, you see all sorts of political bumper stickers as you drive around town, Lisa, and I'm sure you've seen those ones that say 12009. You've seen those stickers on the back of the purse?
Oh, yes.
People counting down to the start of the new administration. A lot of people will be, you know, happy to see the president go. I am going to be sad to see Dick Cheney go. I have grown to really love this dude.
Have you?
He is.
Because he's so warm?
Yeah, he really is, man. Of course, his famous interview with Wolf Blitzer on the CNN.
You think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
There's Dick, man. There's a guy who just says it like it is.
Well,
I love that about him.
He gives a lot of thought, too.
He was on yesterday with the ABC White House correspondent talking about the five-year anniversary of the Iraq War. Had this to say.
Two-thirds of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
There you go. That's my boy. Come on. Tell me we're not going to miss that. Let's talk to the vice president, shall we?
Dick,
Mr. Cheney, good morning.
Hello?
So?
Dick?
Yeah?
How are you, sir? Good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right.
Well, listen, Mr. Cheney, the reason I wanted to have you on is because this news story recently about the two towns in Vermont that have approved a measure that instruct local police to arrest you and Mr. Bush if either of you are found in the city limits of those towns. They're suggesting crimes against the Constitution. They want you to be extradited and tried.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had any reaction about, a community in your country that would issue a proclamation like that.
Yes, actually, the president and I have discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to announce that as of today, we are implementing Operation Shock and Awe 2, and we will be invading Vermont.
Well, you can't declare war on your own country. I mean, you can't bomb.
Oh, really? Are you a politician? Are you a lawmaker? Are you some sort of constitutional expert?
Well, no, but no. You can't attack Vermont. I mean, they're a state in our union.
But I believe, given their current administration, we will be viewed as liberators.
You think they're being held against their will?
Yes, I think the people of Vermont will be happy to see us march into that state and. Set them up with a new democracy.
who's going to march? You got no one.
We've got soldiers.
Here?
I'm not at liberty to tell you where they are right now, but
okay.
We have them.
All right.
And we will
okay.
be. We have reason to believe that Vermont, despite being home to maple syrup, also is harboring some weapons of mass destruction.
Oh,
what?
You think they got a nuclear program out there in Vermont? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they bought some yellow cake uranium from Maine, and we believe they are developing a nuclear weapons program.
Do you have any proof of that?
Yeah, sure we do. Of course we do.
Can we see it?
Nope. It's not for your eyes, young lady. It's not for you. You let the big boys handle this, okay?
The men are talking.
That's right. Just pipe down.
Mr. Vice President, it sounds like you just kind of make up whatever proof, quote-unquote, you need to do whatever it is you want to do.
We have information from various intelligence sources
mm-hmm.
that claim that Vermont is working hard on on maple syrup fusion.
I didn't even know scientifically that was possible.
It is. They have a dirty bomb that is nuclear in basis, and when it explodes, it... sprays maple syrup all over you, and that's hard to get out.
That's being sticky.
Yeah, sounds messy, yeah.
You get sticky, and then next thing you know, you're stuck.
and
no one
wants that.
God,
no one wants to be stuck. You get that on a computer keyboard, forget about it. Communications are paralyzed. So we are taking the necessary steps. We were going to go in, and we are going to shock and awe them. And then we will develop a new democracy. We will set up a new coalition that will stay there as long as necessary.
Okay.
Until the government of Vermont is a free and democratic government.
God, you could be there 100 years.
Whatever it takes.
Uh-huh.
We will not leave until the mission is accomplished.
Uh-huh. At first, before we had you on, sir, I was thinking this was a bad idea. But now that you've explained it and the good reasons you have for invading Vermont, I'm with you.
Have you ever seen Vermont?
No, I've never been, actually.
It blows.
We wouldn't miss it anyway.
You wouldn't miss it. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. They got syrup.
Yeah.
And a lot of flannel shirt guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a lot of tree cutters. What they call lumberjacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. A lot of those.
Yeah, right.
And they got a city named Montpelier. What the hell's that all about? It's a retarded name. Montpelier.
Well, that's all the reason you need, sir. Good luck with that.
I just took out some maple syrup.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
You can't do this and then say, there's nothing, what's,
exactly.
How come everybody's, see, this is exactly what Ryan Seacrest does.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about getting his hair highlighted.
His manicure.
And manicure and pedicure. And he talks about all this stuff that everybody goes, wait a minute, are you gay? And he goes, no, how could you think that?
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't a gay thing. And I know you're trying to direct people to the sites page of KevinandBeanKROQ.com. But this isn't a gay thing at all. Look, it was Africa hot on Saturday at the KROQ Queenie Roastie Fiesta. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. You don't have a lot of hair.
Correct.
So maybe you don't know how uncomfortable that is on a long, super long, hot, hot, sweaty day. And
right.
You want to do something with it. And your options are limited.
Right.
And I chose pigtails to get the hair off my neck because I knew I was going to be out in the hot sun all day. And I just wanted something that was going to be no fuss, no muss, and comfortable.
All right. So KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean, sites, look at Bean's pigtails. It looks like you got like some kind of little red rubber bands holding it in place.
And he's got a few bobby pins, too.
He's got bobby pins as well.
For the flyaway hair. Yeah.
I'm enjoying some of the fine mariachi action at the Weenie Roast in this particular photo.
And call us and tell us if this is a good enough explanation that Bean is giving us, that it's hot.
Well, clearly it is.
Here's the thing. There were 20,000 people there. Everybody else just as hot.
Mm-hmm.
Some people longer hair. Only guy in pigtails?
But I saw lots of guys with big, big, long, heavy metal hair, particularly at a Metallica show, and
right.
It was just a mess. It was just plastered all over their face, and it was all sweaty. It had to be miserable and uncomfortable. I didn't want to be that guy.
So you're the pigtail guy.
It was very comfortable. Like I said, it was no fuss, no muss.
Here's the thing. This happens a lot because our voices sound quite the same on the air. I understand that. But when I'm at the Weenie Roast and freaking Bean has freaking pigtails, and then I hear people calling me Bean.
That's not good.
I can't. This has to end. I can't have people thinking I'm the guy with the pigtails.
Yeah.
Because.
It's beyond humiliating.
Thank you, Lisa.
You would never in a thousand years do this.
I wouldn't
wear pigtails because they're very immature.
They're very little
girlish.
Kids, right?
Yeah.
It's the girl on the Wendy's TV commercial or the little logo. It's a 10-year-old girl thing. 10-year-old girl, super cute with pigtails.
Guys, I got a
150-year-old guys don't look so good in pigtails.
I got a lot of love, particularly from the ladies on the pigtails. For instance, producer Alex thought the pigtails were quite fetching.
I don't really think she did. I think she was just...
It's just, there's no way.
All right, how about this? Let's go to Dina in Cerrito. She is a girl, and she's got my back. Dina is going to show you how wrong you guys are that pigtails are cool on a dude. Hey, Dina, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sorry, Bean. I'm going to have to disagree.
All right, what do you think?
There is nothing more gay on a straight man than pigtails.
Thank you.
Your alternative should have been shaving your head.
Here's what I'm saying.
I wasn't going to shave all my hair off just for one day because I was going to be in 150 degrees.
You're a guy. Most guys don't care that much about their hair. You should have just shaved it off and everyone would have been probably happy.
It was too hot for what? To cut your hair off?
No, it was too hot to have long hair that day. That's all I'm saying.
Bean, I have long hair. And I won't shave my head.
Good point.
I know that would just be very scary. Yes,
good point. 50% of the people there had long hair.
Yeah, my hair was longer than yours. I wore it down all day. It was fine.
You either, with long hair, you either deal with it and deal with the sweatiness and grossness, or you shave it off.
All right, Dina, let me ask you this question. When I say to Bean, it has to be a...
attention getter.
Hey, look at me. Not I'm wearing all. Pigtails.
Yes. Not even a little bit. Not even a tiny bit.
Says not even a little
I
bit.
I swear to God.
Who
I swear to God.
That?
No.
It was just hot and ponytails are gay. That was it. I had a choice. Ponytail, pigtails. Ponytail, pigtails. Ponytails are gay, and I think you guys all agree with me on that.
No.
Pigtails, I think, acceptable.
No, wait, no.
Don't agree with you.
Pigtails are creepy. Pigtails are creepy.
Here's the thing. Ponytails.
Or even just like a braid. Guys can do maybe do that, like a single braid and get away with it, but pigtails are just gay and creepy.
I will tell you that at one point I was paged that Chris Hansen was waiting for me out in front of Irvine.
Yeah,
I mean, that concerned me a little bit.
That's not a surprise. So then, I'm telling you guys off the air, this is, we're not doing a bit or anything.
Yes.
And we're talking to me, and we're like, come on, man. You just, the whole look at me thing. What are you talking about? This has nothing to do with look at me.
I swear to God, it didn't. I was shocked at how much hate I got from really just you and Ralph and Dave and Omar. Those were the only guys who were really harsh on me about the pigtails.
All right, hang on.
Everybody else seemed to be fine with it. They either didn't care or they thought it was fine.
Rocco in Pasadena.
What's up, man? Yeah, first off, I don't know how the hell you figure that a ponytail is more gay than pigtails.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And second off, yeah, man, I mean, you heard of a haircut before? I mean, come on now.
There you go. Thank you.
I've heard of a haircut, but I like my hair long right now. I'm sure eventually I'll grow tighter and I'll cut it off. But it was just, I wasn't going to get a big old haircut because of one day in the hot, hot sun. So I just chose something that was comfortable. That's all.
Bad choice, all I'm saying.
Thanks for the call.
Travis in Pasadena, good morning.
Good morning.
You're a gay guy.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
And I'm not even gay enough to wear pigtails.
Thank you. So what you're saying, Travis, if I might interpret, is that I'm being unkind to gay people by saying that Bean is gay for wearing pigtails.
No, not at all. I think that he's gayer than gay can possibly be. I've got long hair, and yeah, it's hot, blah, 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 but come on.
I'm just trying to be comfortable, Travis.
Bean is surprised that we're giving him crap.
I really am.
Yelling at Omar, whose hair actually looks pretty good. Every single day about his hair. Then you're surprised when we give you crap about pigtails.
I didn't see that one coming.
There's no way you didn't see that coming.
I did.
I'm calling BS on everything you're saying.
Me too.
I did.
You knew it was gay.
I knew
you would get a bunch of crap for it.
Yes.
Because it's gayer than anything could possibly be. It's less gay than having sex with a guy. Sorry, more gay than having sex with a guy is what I meant.
He's a lying liar who lies.
Says he is super gay and it's too gay for him. I guess I should take that at face value.
Correct. Thank you.